worried a bit about his margin of victory in Iowa.
People are using the phrase virtual tie, but let's put this in larger context. Mitt Romney won by 8 votes. Mitt Romney actually got 6 votes less than he got 4 years ago.
Newt Gingrich finished down in the pack, but he says he's heading to the next primary state, New Hampshire, with his sights still focused on ultimately winning the presidential nomination.
I'm convinced that the Republican Party will pick an heir of Reagan, a committed conservative, and somebody with a track record of changing Washington.
In news other than politics, so how will the stock market do this year? Of course, we won't know until this time next year, but CNN's Allison Kosick tells us at least it got off to a strong start for 2012.
The Dow surged 179 points to end at 12,397. It had been up by 260 points earlier. The Nasdaq and the S&P 500 each added more than 1.5%.
A prosecution official in Marburg, Germany, says the German man arrested in a string of suspected arsons in Los Angeles is under investigation for arson and fraud in Germany as well. Suspect Harry Burkhardt scheduled to be arraigned this morning. The German government's trying to extradite his mother on fraud charges. Investigators say Burkhardt may have been motivated by his mother's arrest. Florida citrus growers are hoping their crops made it through the below-freezing temperatures last night. Orange farmer Justin Sorrell says it's hard to believe people were wearing shorts just a few days ago.
To go from 80 degrees down to 20 degrees in about 3 days is going to be a shock.
A massive Canadian cold front plunged down into the southeastern U.S. In fact, it was colder yesterday in Daytona Beach, Florida, than in some places in Montana. This is CNN Radio.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over 1 million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla, not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Inc.
There's a reason they're called starving artists. A study this morning by Georgetown University's Center on Education and the Workforce finds that among recent college grads, those with degrees in the arts have the highest rates of unemployment, along with those whose degrees are in humanities, and a bit more surprising perhaps, architecture. 13.9% unemployment for new grads with architecture degrees. Lowest unemployment rate is for new grads with health, education, and agriculture degrees. Perhaps no single company has been a victim of rapid changes in technology more than Eastman Kodak. Its shares traded at $90 apiece in the late 1990s when it was a component of the Dow. But the switch from film to digital photography slammed Eastman Kodak. Just last year, the stock dropped 80%, and now the company has received a delisting notice, meaning it's in danger of being removed from the New York Stock Exchange altogether because of low stock price. S&P futures are flat. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over 1 million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla, not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Inc.
Make saving more at Rite Aid your best resolution yet. Now through January 28th, you can earn a $20 plus up reward when you spend $100 or more on select products with your Wellness Plus card. Just look for the buy and save symbol on participating products throughout the store and circular. Start the year off with better savings at Rite Aid. Resolution Rewards is another way Wellness Plus saves you more. In-store purchase with Wellness Plus card only. Plus up will be printed on receipt in most markets for use on your next purchase when qualifying threshold is met. Plus up expires February 11, 2012.
GEICO makes it so simple to save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. But why stop there? GEICO finds every possible way to save you even more money. Good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, even good student discounts. And don't forget our looking fine discount. A discount for the attractive folk like yourselves. Okay, there's not really a looking fine discount, just seeing if you're paying attention. It's not a bad idea, though.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. That question is, are you ready for change? And if you are, are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Good Wednesday morning, each and every one of you. Thank you for punching in on this early morning. It is just about 7 minutes after 6 o'clock, and a pleasure to be with you. Of course, last night, nothing but the Iowa caucuses. What does Mitt Romney's record win, what makes it a record? Well, how close the race was is what makes it a record. We'll explore that. We have a lot of audio to get to in this hour. We're going to walk you through the entire Iowa caucus as best we can and bring you some perspective, both ours and others. And, of course, some local topics to get to as well in this first hour, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. In the next hour, Stuart Sternberg will be joining us. For those of you that are not aware, in St. Clair County, there's a state senator by the name of Phil Pavlov. He is not the favored son of the Democrats in that part of the state. They are looking to recall him. We will have Stuart Sternberg on from the Recall Pavlov campaign to find out what's in store for them and what they need us to do. Occupy Detroit, of course, will occupy First Shift at 7:50, and at 8:06, Stephen Henderson returns. He's the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press and the host of American Black Journal, and we will look forward to having him on as well, but let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is agenda. We all need an agenda. And, of course, with the Iowa caucuses now, there are candidates that will have different agendas. Some of them, that agenda will include what's next, where do we go, is it New Hampshire, is it South Carolina, or is it home? That is going to be on some candidates' agenda if, of course, you are a Republican. If you're a Democrat, well, you know, they also have the caucus yesterday. Of course, Barack Obama won. He doesn't have an opponent. But what does it mean in the bigger picture? What is the caucus all about? And, of course, First Shift in and of itself has its own agenda. Our agenda today, well, is to empower you with some truth, and that's our agenda every day. And I would think that as we take a look at our agenda moving forward, the beginning of 2012, it's about moving you to action, because ultimately, in order to mandate change, we need to have an agenda that motivates you to action. Will we succeed? Well, I would venture to guess that that our agenda will determine how true that is. So our first word today is agenda, and of course, part of our agenda at this time every morning is to talk sports, and we always bring in Jeff Radford for that because he is the aficionado on our staff, no question about that. Good morning to you, Mr. Radford.
Well, good morning. How about that sports scene last night? Two pretty good games for college.
Yeah, and the Red Wings won last night. Michigan State won their basketball game last night. So I mean, you know, if you're a homie, it was a good night for the home team.
Isn't that the case? Big win for Michigan in the Sugar Bowl.
All right, let me just kind of take a step back here and give you what happened. So, as I said yesterday, before, you know, this time yesterday morning, that I was not going to stay up and watch the game, and I didn't. I basically went to bed about, I don't know, 8:45, but I didn't watch any of the game. I didn't watch that 15 minutes. I just didn't watch. I got up this morning, and this is the headline in the Free Press. It was ugly, but UM has trophy. And then, you know, UM overcomes mistakes for super sweet bowl victory. And nothing but negative headlines. So my question to Anthony this morning, because Anthony did stay up and watch the game, was I read that the game sucked, but they won. And Anthony said the game was awesome. So, Anthony, I've got to ask you the question. You know, what does the Free Press have that you don't, or what do you have that the Free Press doesn't?
Well, I'm thinking, as me personally, I love the defense in the game. There was a lot of big hits. It was just back and forth. We were stopping the run. I mean, there wasn't that big plays. There wasn't running all over the place, but we did play some good defense, which we haven't played in 4 years or so.
Oh, all right. So, but you enjoy the game, obviously.
Well, yeah, when we win, I mean, I enjoy it.
Of course, yeah. Well, that does help. That does help. You know, I did see that, that Michigan did not generate a lot of offense. Again, does this just go back to the both teams were playing good D, and that was pretty much the story of the day yesterday?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, so much. Now, Jeff, do I understand that you also didn't stay up and watch the game?
You got it. I DVR'd it, and I say I never DVR sports. I DVR them all the time. Whether I go back and watch them is a different case. I saw the highlights, and that kind of ruins the whole DVR experience. So
that answers my question. Well, partially answers my question. You're probably not going to go back and watch the game, though.
I don't know. This one I might. Because I've seen every game this season. Didn't have to DVR. I DVR'd them anyway to go back in case I wanted to see something again. This one, though, when you have a Tuesday night and you get up at 3 a.m.
I'm with you.
It's a lot harder to stay up for.
I'm with you. There are just certain sacrifices that I'm not willing to make anymore, and one of them is sleep. I just can't do it. God bless everybody. But, Saturday night, the Lions play. It's a Saturday night. I'm good with that. I don't have to get up Sunday morning. I'm fine. But, you know, if it were a Sunday night going into Monday, I can promise you I wouldn't be staying up and watching. I just can't do it, and I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. So an 11-win season. Now, this is only the fifth time in Michigan history that they've won 11 games in a season, and I actually found that pretty sensational, Jeff.
Yeah, pretty crazy. It's actually kind of getting poo-pooed a little bit because of the schedule that they played. But, yeah, 11 wins, you can't sneeze at that, especially a BCS win. Even though, again, that's kind of, like you said, negatively looked at nationally because nobody believed that either one of these two teams should be in the game. So,
well, they were there. Obviously, each team had a chance to a lot of mistakes. And again, I read enough about the game to know that there were a lot of mistakes made on both sides. But as Anthony said, the defense came up big, and it doesn't really matter, statistics don't really matter. It's the score that matters, and certainly Michigan came through. Jeff, I read an interesting article yesterday, and I'd never put any thought to this. And then for whatever reason, and then it's just, I guess it's not something that you think about, but we think about bowl games, and we think about what it does for the university, and we know that there's a lot of money involved. But I didn't realize that most universities actually go in the red to participate in a bowl game, that most of them do not make money when they make a bowl game. And I thought that the exact opposite would have been true, but it is not.
Yeah, well, I mean, for a middle-of-the size school, you're not talking about the big boys, because especially not the Big Ten, since they share revenues and help pay for everything, so you don't have to worry about that anyway. They share all the money. But the middle of the road schools, when they have to travel, the expenses of carting the team across country to wherever they have to go and putting it all of that in, and then show, if you see some of these bowl games, if a team is like, not Boise anymore, but Boise back in the day, or a smaller school, and they're going halfway across the country, their fans aren't traveling, And the local team, the locals don't care about the two teams because they're normally from different areas. So the bowl, you know, you see that in the first round of the NCAA tournament, too. There's just not a lot of people are in the crowd. And so you do take a hit in some of those because the travel expenses are just, they outweigh what the payouts are. Now, the BCS is different. You know, the BCS pays out tens of millions of dollars, where a lot of these bowls, you know, only pay out maybe $1 million, $2 million.
Oh, here, as an example, it says the Hokies appeared in the 2008, 2009, and 2011 Orange Bowls and lost money each year. The Arizona Republic reported Virginia Tech lost hundreds of thousands of dollars with each year that they appeared in the Orange Bowl. It's important to note, the article goes on to say, that the college had assistance. The conference in which the team plays pays about $2 million in travel expenses. The Atlantic Coast Conference also covered some of the cost of the 22,700 bowl tickets the school couldn't resell.
Well, that's another thing. They're on the hook, too. Every school is on the hook for their tickets that they have to, that they say they can sell. You know, and the fact is, you know, that's why Michigan at least is in the Sugar Bowl, because they have a record and a reputation of traveling well. Fans all across the country that are Michigan fans will travel to where the bowl games are, and bowl games want to sell out their ticket allotment, so they, you know, Michigan is an attractive person to have in their bowl.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And in fact, a couple weeks ago, and I recall, and I think I briefly mentioned it on the show, but I definitely recall reading the article, Jeff, and that Michigan was one of the few colleges that was not having a problem selling its allotment of tickets, but even Michigan State was having problems selling its allotment. So, you know, it becomes a real issue, and obviously it becomes work for the university to get involved, and from a financial perspective. The other thing I found interesting is they're not allowed, for whatever reason, they're not allowed to negotiate a better hotel rate or better airfare rate. You know, they're not allowed to do a group discount thing. They have to pay sticker price, if you will, which I thought was really interesting, and not sure quite why that is. But anyway, an interesting story. We have a lot to get to. So when we come back, the Iowa caucuses, that's what it's all about this morning. Yes, Mitt Romney won. Did he, though, win in a way that is convincing? Does it set him aside? Does it elevate him to a certain way? Well, Rick Santorum might have something to say about that. But when we take a look at who voted for Rick Santorum, do his votes really count for anything? We'll figure it all out on the other side. Stay with us.
First Chip with Tony Triano.
We'll welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning to you, Tony. Our total traffic update looks pretty good out there, in the sense that traffic is still just starting to get a little busier. It is very cold, though, and we have that power outage going on along Woodward between roughly 6 and 7 Mile Road. So look for traffic signals to be out, street lights to be out. It's going to be very difficult to make your way through that stretch while DTE does some work. Woodward between McNichols and 7 Mile, avoid the area.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, we are going to see some partly sunny skies. Our high near 34, tonight cloudy and 26, tomorrow sun and maybe a high of 38. Right now it's overcast and a cold 21 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Study show ginkgo biloba improves ankle health.
Make beta carotene your go-to hydrocarbon.
All about the rival
cauliflower.
Overwhelmed by having to make smart nutritional choices? Then leave it to Centrum to help you choose. Centrum Complete Multivitamins give you the multiple benefits that matter most to you, like energy, immunity, and metabolism. With Centrum, taking care of your nutrition couldn't be simpler. And now visit newnutritionpossible.com to find the multivitamin and supplement combination that's right for you.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Chapstick asks, do you use Chapstick Lip Shield 365 in sand or snow?
Hi, I'm Sandy Sanderson, and I just love the sand. Quicksand, ampersands, sandalwood scented candles. And I wear Chapstick Lip Shield 365 to keep my lips protected from the sun year-round. My boyfriend here also wears it.
Yeah, I'm Sleety McNipperson, and I like snow. Snow tires, snow peas, snow leopards, snow
crabs. Are
you
sand or snow? Clothes. Either way, new Chapstick Lip Shield 365 with SPF 50 has you covered. And have your say at facebook.com/chapstick.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And thanks for doing it. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock, the Iowa caucuses last night. Jeff, no... You know, no lack of things to talk about this morning, and we've got a lot to get to. But interestingly, as we take a look, Mitt Romney wins the Iowa caucus literally by 8 votes. 8 votes. Rick Santorum comes in second. Ron Paul comes in third. Newt Gingrich comes in fourth. Rick Perry fifth. Michelle Bachmann dead last. Dead last. By the way, I listened to all of their little speeches, Jeff, after, you know, the results came in. And Michelle Bachmann continues to act as if she's the front runner. So take that for what it's worth. She talks like she's the front runner.
Might as well.
But why?
Well, I mean, you got to keep a confident front. Even though there's nothing to be confident about. But, I mean, if she acts like dead last, then she might as well just drop out.
Well, she needs to drop out. In fact, Sarah Palin offered her a little advice yesterday. Her and Rick Perry to both of them to drop, or John Huntsman, I'm sorry, to drop out. Rick Perry, by the way, is reassessing his campaign. He's going to, quote-unquote, go back to Texas and think about what's next, which means he's dropping out.
Right. Isn't that code by now? We know. I mean, yes. Herman Cain is still reassessing his campaign, right?
He's done.
Right. That's basically code for I'm done.
Yeah, he's done. So, Rick Perry's done. He has $3 million left in his campaign coffers, which is not chump change. And would it make a difference in New Hampshire? Probably not.
What happens to that money?
He gets to keep it.
So when you donate to a campaign of a candidate and then they drop out, they get to keep the money?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like personally?
They can use it for political reasons. They can start their own foundation. They can use it for another campaign. They can donate that money to another candidate. But it's theirs to use for basically whatever political purpose they want to use it, Jeff.
So you raise $10 million, spend $1 million on campaign stuff,
you
then drop
nine.
Out.
Yeah.
You basically just made yourself a millionaire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting.
Well, again, you can't use it for personal use. You can't use it to, go have your nails done or go buy a new suit of clothes. But, yeah, there are lots of ways to utilize that money that are connected to your quote-unquote campaign. Maybe that's to pay staffers. Who's to say those staffers aren't members of your family? Just saying. But, yeah, they basically get to keep that money. Well, you know, let's start because we have a lot to stuff to get to. So let's start breaking this down. James Carville, who of course is a political insider, Democratic operative, certainly came to prominence during the Clinton years. Is actually quite fun. I don't know if you enjoy him, Jeff. I do. I find him really quite a charming guy. I do. Really enjoy Mr. Carville. This is what he had to say about Rick Perry as a candidate.
Well, look, Ron Paul and Romney savaged Gingrich, maybe justifiably so. I mean, that's part of the thing, right? He is mad. I thought that Bogman's speech was probably one of the really weird speeches I've seen now. But Rick Perry is the worst presidential campaign slash candidate in American history. He was on fire for a while. There's nobody that had worse debates than he did. There was nobody that raised more money to less effect. Not Giuliani, not Fred Thompson, not John Conley, not anybody.
You said the worst candidate in American history.
Well, given the expectation where he started, I mean, yeah, if you got somebody Arlen Specter or something like that, well, okay, not that.
All right.
But if somebody that like, started as a major tier candidate, when people, we were ready to be sort of blown away here. And this is, I'm sorry, he was the worst ever.
And he actually does make a good point. Rick Perry announces he starts raising money like a madman, shoots to the top of the polls, and fizzles out quicker than he rose to the occasion. Does that make him the worst candidate ever? I don't know that I'm going to make that assessment, but certainly makes him the worst candidate in this cycle. There's no question that's true. Well, listen, this is, again, the Iowa caucuses, and you ask yourself the question, do they matter? I mean, that's the bottom line. And we'll get to that. We'll get to answering that question a little bit later on in this hour. But certainly, you know, there is a, you know, are there any surprises? Well, no, if you're paying attention, as we were. Rick Santorum had this huge resurgence over the weekend amongst evangelicals, which goes back to the question I had asked earlier on. Does his victory, because there is a victory in this for him, only coming in second place by 8 votes, you know, that's significant if it matters. And unfortunately for Rick Santorum, it doesn't. Now, he'll make it sound like it does because he has to, but we know what history tells us. History tells us, again, 4 years ago, Mike Huckabee comes in first, got no traction out of it coming out of that, and in fact, wasn't too very very long after that that he dropped out of the race. Is this enough to propel Mitt Romney to some kind of victory? Well, I got to tell you, there's one thing that's happening, one story that's being told that we need to talk about in greater detail, and I don't think you want to count Newt Gingrich out just yet. Newt Gingrich is very angry, and he's very angry because Mitt Romney's pals, who have a super PAC, went after him in a huge way in Iowa. And as the story is told, of course, we don't get local Iowa television here in Detroit, but as the story is told, literally every commercial break on every radio and television station was a negative ad against Newt Gingrich. Every single station. And, of course, Newt says that Mitt Romney's a liar. This is exactly what he said. Now, listen closely, so I want you to make sure you got it loud and clear. This is what Newt said about Mitt Romney.
You said of Mitt Romney, somebody who will lie to you to get to be president will lie to you when they are president. I have to ask you, are you calling Mitt Romney a liar?
Yes.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar?
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes.
I mean, what why are you saying he's a liar?
Because this is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
All right.
It's like his pretense that he's a conservative.
All right. I mean, it's great. It's great. And when we come back from the break, Candy Crowley, who is actually doing this piece, that was actually a segment that was done on the early show on CBS. When we come back, Candy Crowley does a little explanation. But I got to tell you, this Mitt versus Newt thing may be a bigger story. Mark my words. I don't know that anybody else will be talking about this today, but mark my words, Newt Gingrich is really, really pissed off. And although he came in fourth, don't totally discount that. Not yet anyway. But we got a lot to get to. If you'd like to comment on the Iowa caucuses, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony Trupiano with you. We'll take the break and be back on 1310 WDTW right after this.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Looks like we're going to have some real problems for drivers who use Woodward between McNichols, 6 Mile, and 7 Mile, and also DeQuinder. DTE Energy is doing some emergency replacement that they're having to shut the power off. So streetlights, traffic signals, so potentially we could have some really huge delays through there. Looks like that's going to be working for most of the day. Avoid Woodward and DeQuinder, some McNichols, 7 Mile area.
Drive through McDonald's and try the new dollar menu featuring meaty, melty McDouble with 100% beef and cheese or the golden McChicken. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to see some partly sunny skies. Our high near 34. Tonight cloudy and 26. Tomorrow WDTW sun and maybe a high of 38. Right now it's overcast and a cold 21 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
The powers that be constantly try to pull the wool over people's eyes. But sometimes the wool blinders are so itchy that people rip them off and clearly see the scam. One of the itchiest ever is the Kafkaesque fiction put forth by America's right-wing power establishment that corporations are persons with the constitutional right to control our elections with their bottomless troves of corporate cash. This is an absurd perversion of nature itself. A person, after all, has a navel. Where's the corporate navel? Or its heart, brain, or soul? Also, if a corporation is a person, shouldn't it be subject to frontline military duty, to jail for its criminal violations, and even to the death penalty? As a listener pointed out to me in a recent email, many states do not allow persons under 18 years of age to marry, or, in corporate terminology, to merge. Plus, such young persons are subject to curfews and cannot legally be served alcohol. If you see a young corporation violating any of these teen laws, call the cops on them. When a corporate and governmental cabal makes such a power play that the very idea of it becomes a national joke, both the idea and the cabal are in trouble. That's the case with the comical claim of personhood for corporations. All across the country, beneath the radar of America's clueless elites, a savvy and scrappy grassroots coalition is mobilizing to overturn the anti-democratic effort by the Supreme Court, corporate front groups, and political sellouts to enthrone corporate money over the people. On January 20th and 21st, there will be two national days of action to rally public support for a constitutional amendment to reject the farce of corporate personhood. This is Jim Hightower saying, to join the rebellion, connect with www.movetoamend.org and www.democracyisforpeople.org.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us.
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the first shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And the Iowa caucuses are over. Mitt Romney, by 8 votes, is the winner. Number 2, Rick Santorum, former senator from Pennsylvania. And honestly, his victory, Santorum's victory, does not matter. And I'm going to tell you it doesn't matter because his voters were part of the evangelical bloc for the most part. The evangelical bloc is not something that will transfer from state to state, as has proven to be true in the past. Mike Huckabee, the most recent example of why that victory rings hollow. But there is that the understory that I am trying to force upon you today, and that's the Newt Gingrich bitter rivalry now with Mitt Romney. Candy Crowley of CNN explains the Romney stance of Newt, Mitt, and et cetera. Let's hear what she has to say.
At this point, as you know, it's a lot easier to be Mitt Romney than it is to be Newt Gingrich. And Mitt Romney has stuck with the same MO largely throughout this entire campaign for the past year or more. This has been a cautious, a careful campaign. What Mitt Romney has to do, he's like a doctor in politics. He has to do no harm to his campaign. There is nothing in it, Wolf, for Mitt Romney to engage with Newt Gingrich about who is a liar about what. And so he is brushing this off, and he is really, even on the campaign trail, his rhetoric is sort of months past Iowa. It is aimed right at the White House.
And that is true. That is true. The thing that Candy Crowley is not factoring in here is Newt Gingrich's response to this and what happens in New Hampshire. Now, there have been some stories. I got up a little extra early this morning and did a little extra reading. And what I discovered was that in a very real way, Newt Gingrich is trying to, from a financial standpoint, score some major cash so that he can go out and beat the living bejesus out of Mitt Romney on television and on radio in New Hampshire, starting immediately. And will it matter? I think it will. I really do believe it will. And this is, I think, a long way from being said and done. But let's listen to some of what the winners had to say last night. Mitt Romney's victory speech sounded a little bit like this.
But congratulations to Rick Santorum. This has been a great victory for him and for his effort. He's worked very hard in Iowa. We also feel it's been a great victory for us here. For Ron Paul as well. Ron Paul's had a great night. This has been terrific. I think it's great that here in the heartland of America that a campaign begins. All three of us will be campaigning very hard to make sure that we restore the heart and soul of the entire nation. And thank you, Iowa, for the great send-off you're giving to us and to the others in this campaign. And you are working, and I am working, and we're all working together because of our passion for this country and our concern that it's being led by a president who may be a nice guy, but just is over his head.
All right, and then he went on, Mitt Romney went on then to just bash the president for a couple minutes. Rick Santorum, though, had a very different kind of victory speech, and a victory speech indeed. He, you know, again, he just misses out by 9 votes, if you want to get technical about it, by winning the whole enchilada, but coming in second, losing very closely. Again, the evangelical base firmly implanted. This is Rick Santorum's victory speech.
People have asked me how I've done this, sitting back at the polls and not getting a whole lot of attention paid to us. How did you keep going out to Iowa and 99 counties and 381 town hall meetings and speeches? Well, every morning when I was getting up in the morning to take on that challenge, I've required a strength from another particular friendship, one that is sacred. I've survived the challenges so far by the daily grace that comes from God.
And there he goes. And that's why he did well with the evangelical base, honestly. But
don't you think he was the biggest winner, though, last night? He lost by 9 votes, like you said. But he, out of all the people that participated, he basically won. That was the biggest victory.
You know, I'm going to disagree with you because It doesn't matter. It's a, to me, as I said earlier, it's a hollow victory. It doesn't matter. It won't propel him. It won't give him momentum going into New Hampshire.
Well, okay. Say me and you have. Say we have like a we have a paper toss in the next room. It's a meaningless game. Has nothing to do with anything, right? And yet, if I win, it's a win, right? I mean, that, it's kind of like the, if this is a meaningless deal. And yet, Rick Santorum still does really well. It's a victory in a meaningless match, right? Though, I mean, he in a meaningless setting, he was the biggest winner.
I guess. I'll concede it, but
maybe it's exhibition season, like for the Pistons, and they beat the Cavaliers. Yeah, it doesn't matter, but they still won, right?
Yeah, but again, it's a hollow victory. Yes, I mean, again, I'm not gonna disagree with you. I don't see that Rick Santorum gets anything out of it. Even though, and let's go to our next piece of audio. Even though, you know, he says that, game on, Mitt, and this is what he had to say about moving on to New Hampshire.
There's gonna be a rematch, and we're gonna go to New Hampshire and take him on, and we're gonna run a campaign talking about my vision for this country. You didn't hear me going after people tonight. I just laid out where America needs to go and how the Republicans need to address those issues and talk about strong economy and to make sure the economy is going to be vibrant for everybody in this economy and that we have a economy that's built on strong families too. And that message will resonate not just here, but it will resonate in New Hampshire also.
And Jeff, we'll have to wait and see. And there will be polling numbers out later on today in New Hampshire to see where Rick Santorum stands in the polls. And don't be surprised if he's number five.
Yeah, but wouldn't also the polling numbers are one thing, but how about donations? Isn't that supposed to go up for him now?
It should, and it will. Again, I'm not I'm anticipating, and again, I could be totally off base, but I'm anticipating Newt Gingrich ends up being the victor in the fundraising race, because there are a lot of people that just don't like Mitt Romney, and they don't like the way, you know, you got to remember, just a couple weeks ago, Newt Gingrich was the guy to beat in Iowa. And what they did, the super PAC did, that was basically, you know, a Mitt Romney's deal, was they put in millions of dollars, making Newt Gingrich look like a bad guy. And Newt Gingrich did not have enough money to counter it, and so he sees New Hampshire as his opportunity to get even.
What happened, though? I mean, didn't you said this morning that Mitt had less votes this year around than the last time he ran, right?
Yeah, and in fact, I just saw that little tidbit. Six votes, interestingly enough.
How crazy is that? How weird is that?
Yeah, that is a little weird. You know, stop and think about it again. Jeff, we talked about this yesterday. Mitt Romney's been running for the presidency now for about 5 years. You'd think at this point he'd be a household name for all intents and purposes he is. But his numbers, even yesterday, he and Santorum, basically both got 25% of the caucus votes that were cast. You know, after all that time, he's only getting 25% of the vote. Doesn't that say something about the way the electorate views Mitt Romney? Don't you think it says something about him?
Right. And does it say, let me ask you this, does it say, like, he runs all these ads trying to get, you know, Newt to not have the votes, but then instead of those votes jumping on his bandwagon, they instead slide over to Santorum. So even though he runs all these campaigns, he still doesn't win the votes. He ends up pushing him away from Newt and into Santorum's category. Is that the way to look at it?
You can certainly infer that. And the other candidates as well. Yeah, I mean, some of those votes went to the other candidates as well. They didn't all go to Mitt. Yeah, they didn't all go to Mitt Romney. You make a good point. Sure.
If Newt is that upset about what Mitt did,
And he is. It's obvious that he is.
Is he more about Romney not winning than he is about winning? You know what I'm saying? Like, would he rather see Mitt lose than for him to win? And if that's the case, then maybe he jumps on the bandwagon of Santorum and tries to push that momentum.
Yeah, I don't see him jumping on the Rick Santorum bandwagon. You need to understand, Rick Santorum's politics are, although, you know, Newt is a conservative, not nearly as conservative as Rick Santorum, although he certainly... And it would fit in, you know, they'd be okay in the same room together. Rick Santorum is far more conservative than Mitt Romney is. Far more conservative. Rick Santorum is a hardcore right-wing whack job. I mean, he is. We wouldn't want Rick Santorum to be our president. You and I wouldn't want him to be our president because he is that extreme to the right. And even Newt Gingrich is not as extreme to the right. But I don't see Newt Gingrich saying... throwing his endorsement to Santorum. No, I think that Newt Gingrich is still about Newt Gingrich winning New Hampshire, and that's the way that he would approach it, that he would go after Mitt Romney. The problem is, and again, we'll wait until we get the poll numbers later on today out of New Hampshire, but Jeff, you're going to find that Rick Santorum is not in the lead. You know, that Iowa did not help him in New Hampshire. That's what I'm saying, is that this was, for him, it was just a confirmation that he is a really good conservative candidate. That's all it says.
A really good evangelical
conservative. Evangelical conservative candidate. Yeah, right. a good point there. So I don't think, again, I don't think it carries over to New Hampshire. A little more from Rick Santorum when we continue, and then we'll take a look at some other stuff, a couple local issues as well. If you didn't hear, the Henrys, you know, give you a little update. Actually, we're going to do it during the Occupy movement. In fact, we may save that until we do that segment a little later on. But there's some local stuff to get to as well. Everybody stay where they're at. Feel free to join us. Again, if you'd like to comment on the Iowa caucuses last night, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truffiano. We'll take the break and punch back in right after this.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Truffiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truffiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-9675.
2722.
Recently on First Shift.
But I believe, knowing what I know in a year as a state representative, that the answers were there for a whole long time. The problem is that people chose to ignore them. And the warning signs were there. I mean, they were there in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and 2000. And here we are today paying the price for the fact that we were living under an economy that was not an economy that is. And this is a messy divorce from the way we used to do things to the way we need to start living.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It's 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. The Iowa caucuses last night. And our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day. The Iowa caucuses results are in. And it's Romney, Santorum, and Paul. What does the result say about the future or who the future nominee will be? As we know, Jeff, on the Republican ticket, the winner of the Iowa caucus rarely reflects who the nominee is on the Republican ticket. In fact, only George W. Bush and Bob Dole in the last 20 years or so, 30 years or so, reflect that that reality. And on the Democratic side, a much different result, but it's all very, very interesting. All right, a little more audio here. Rick Santorum being asked about Newt Gingrich calling Mitt Romney a liar. This is what he had to say.
Well, Newt's a good friend and someone who I have a tremendous amount of respect for. I mean, he's been out there in the battles, and I was here in Iowa, and I can understand why Newt's feeling the way he is. I mean, it was a pummeling that he took here in the hands of Mitt Romney, and it was literally every commercial break. And, you know, that's difficult when you have someone with those kinds of resources, and I can understand why he feels the way he does. But Newt's a fighter. He's going to stand up and articulate his ideas, paint his vision for this country, and we'll have an opportunity to talk about those ideas on the debates this weekend. And I'm looking forward to maybe being a little closer into the middle than I was before.
All right. Well, maybe is the key word there. And finally, from Rick Santorum, as if you've not heard yet, John McCain, Senator John McCain, the last GOP candidate to run for the presidency, is to endorse Mitt Romney today. This is what Santorum had to say about that.
Yeah, that's fine. I would have expected that. I'm fact, surprised that he hasn't done it earlier. John McCain is a great man and is someone who it was an honor to serve with. He has served this country and sacrificed more than frankly anybody that I've had the privilege to know in any way. And so I commend Governor Romney for getting his endorsement, but I'm not surprised by it. I mean, you know, John is a more moderate member of the Republican team, and I think he fits in with Mitt's view of the world. And I wish him the very best. And again, I have nothing but respect for John McCain.
Yeah, I gotta love it. Honor and ignore. That's the Republican mantra. Well, all right. So what does all this mean at the end of the day? John King from CNN explains the importance of the Iowa caucus.
This is just an exercise now, but let's assume Republicans take back Colorado, that it goes back to its roots, 262, 260. Look at that. Nevada, again, high unemployment. The president's in deep trouble here, but the Latino population could be key in Nevada. Let's give that one to President Obama. Now we have New Hampshire and Iowa left, the first two states on the Republican. Let's just do this again. This is just a hypothetical, Democrats. But if the Republicans can take New Hampshire back, 266 to 266, what state could decide the presidential election next November? Where we begin tomorrow with the Republican caucuses in Iowa. If President Obama can keep it, he would win the race. If the Republicans can get it back, they could win the race. Why do we focus on Iowa? Why do we keep it yellow right now as a next November toss-up? Again, in the last 13 presidential elections, Wolf, this has been the ultimate swing state. 7 wins for the Republicans, 6 for the Democrats.
And I got to tell you, Jeff, that statistic surprised me a bit. I didn't realize that it had swung back and forth like 13 times You know, it's seven for the Republicans, six for the Democrats. I was a little surprised by that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me too. Did not think of, you don't think of Iowa, and especially with the thought, you know, hey, the guy who's won the primary for Iowa and the Republic, for the Republican side, doesn't normally end up with the nominee, and yet that is such a, maybe that's why, you know, because they pick their guy. And it ends up not being the guy, so then it's like a toss-up at that point. A bunch of undecided voters trying to decide between two people that they didn't really get behind in the first place.
Well, then there's that old question, does the Iowa caucus, then Jeff, really matter? And according to Mary Snow of CNN, this is the value of the Iowa caucus.
Started in 1972, the caucuses are more about winnowing down the field of candidates. Winners gain no delegates, and some political watchers say the Iowa contest has become more about the media attention.
It's essentially in and of itself a meaningless event, but it has tremendous political impact. Because if a candidate does worse than expected, support and especially funding tends to dry up. And if a candidate does better than expected, that support tends to expand. And in particular, funding, campaign contributions tend to increase.
Last presidential election, about 118,000 Republicans took part in the caucuses. And in Iowa, there's a stronger focus on social issues than other parts of the country. 60% of GOP caucus goers in 2008 described themselves as evangelical or born-again Christians.
And that is why, the very end of that, is why the Iowa caucus probably doesn't matter as much as some of us might think. All right. Well, anyway, we'll, you know, it's done. It's over with. Now it's on to New Hampshire. And then from there, you know, the Michigan primaries are February 28th. There was some concern that on the Republican side that it would be over by then, that we would know that it's going to be Mitt Romney or whoever it might be long before the 28th of February. I, you know, at this point, I don't know that. That is necessarily true, to be honest with you. I'm not convinced that Mitt Romney is necessarily going to be the nominee yet. Again, it's the Newt Gingrich factor that just has me a bit confused. That's all. That's all. It just has me a little confused. I don't know where he fits in. We'll know soon enough.
So if it's not Mitt for you, you think Newt comes out?
Yes, absolutely. It's not going to be Santorum. It's not going to be Paul. Rick Perry's probably done. Bachman obviously is done. There's no question about that. John Huntsman is still fighting in New Hampshire, but I don't see that he's going to do well there. And you know, with all due respect to our friend, former governor and congressman Buddy Romer, who's going to be on with us on Friday, Jeff. You know, Buddy's making a lot of noise, but the only one that's listening are media outlets like us.
Right. So this is it's gotten whittled down to. I think they'll keep Santorum around. I'm with you. I don't think he's got a chance, but I think he does sneak into the top three.
Well, he did.
To stay there, though. I'm saying
you really. I don't see. I don't see Santorum as staying around. I just don't see him.
Well, if he drops
around.
Off, then what are you left with? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It's either at that point, it's Romney and maybe Newt or just Romney, and this thing may be over after New Hampshire.
Well, if that's the case, what about these other states? The primaries that
you still do them. You still
and then,
do them.
What, are they just Mitt Romney victory parties?
Yeah, basically that's what they are. Absolutely, Jeff. That's exactly what they become. Are Mitt Romney victory parties? It's about raising money and it's about turning up the volume against Barack Obama. That's exactly what it becomes. It turns into a national race a lot sooner.
Does that alienate some conservative voters, though?
Sure. Mitt Romney's going to have a real hard time making his case to conservative voters, keeping in mind that once the Democrats really start going after Mitt Romney, it's going to be about his flip-flopping. It's going to be about, you know, he's the pro-abortion Republican. And trust me, they've got plenty of ammunition against Mitt Romney. And so, yeah, it becomes a much more difficult task for him to appeal to conservatives. And as one of the reports that we aired said, this may be more about an arranged marriage than a love affair. And we've got to take a break for the top of the hour. Traffic and weather coming up. CNN with the headline news. We'll be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes very cold temperatures and therefore icy conditions, especially on ramps, bridges, and overpasses. We've got a problem 94 westbound near M10. Looks like the right lane is blocked from an earlier accident. Slick conditions, 94, 75, 96 in that whole area slows down everything. And the domino effect is really backing things up, 94 west near M10.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, we are going to see some partly sunny skies. Our high near 34, tonight cloudy and 26, tomorrow sun and maybe a high of 38. Right now it's overcast and a cold 21 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story, one for the record. Books, closest Republican presidential finish ever. Mitt Romney won the Iowa caucuses by just 8 votes over Rick Santorum out of more than 120,000 votes cast. CNN political analyst David Gergen says the hair-thin margin wasn't necessarily what Romney wanted.
He was denied the sense that he can now wrap it up quickly. Clearly, this is going to go on for a while. Clearly, South Carolina becomes an all-important state. Somebody eventually, I think Romney's likely to be the nominee. The only way you can take it away from him, somebody actually has to beat him somewhere.
Rick Perry took a drubbing in Iowa, finishing down in the pack. CNN's David Mattingly's in South Carolina, where he reports Perry had intended to campaign today.
He was going to be walking down this very street to meet with voters before having a town hall meeting later this afternoon. Well, all of that is off the table now. He's back in Texas reassessing his campaign.
A senior Republican source says Senator John McCain will announce his support for Mitt Romney today. Florida citrus growers are hoping their crops survive the below freezing temperatures last night. Justin Sorrells set up sprinklers around his 5,000 acres of orange trees.
Brings the warm water out of the ground to spray it under the trees, and that creates a fog. And we hope with that fogging action that it will raise the temperature inside the orange grove, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 degrees.
The Canadian cold front that brought the unusually cold weather to the eastern third of the nation is expected to ease a bit today, and the region's looking for a significant warm-up by the end of the week. A new survey shows Europe will remain a big pain in the neck for investors this year. CNN's Matt Cherry reports.
Investing experts are predicting a modest rise for stocks in 2012. However, most of those quizzed in an exclusive CNN Money survey say watch out for Europe. They believe the continent's nearly two-year-old debt crisis will be the main driver of the market. Those surveyed also cite the political gridlock in Congress as a big factor.
For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
An idea is born, but your team lives worlds apart. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. The easy way to meet online and face-to-face with high-definition video. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, share screens in real time, and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her while she sleeps. No, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she is going to love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
A healthy sign of at least a less unhealthy job market. Small businesses are becoming consistent job generators again. This morning, Intuit, the maker of software, including Quicken and TurboTax, reports that small businesses created 55,000 new jobs in December. It also bumped up its initial measure of November's small business job creation to plus 70,000 jobs. All this comes before tomorrow's ADP reading of private sector job growth and Friday's big December employment unemployment report. A company whose stock was listed on the Dow from 1930 to 2004 is about to be delisted from the New York Stock Exchange completely. This after once mighty Eastman Kodak failed to adapt to changes in the photography industry, especially the widespread switch from film to digital images. Kodak's stock finished yesterday at 65 cents a share. Slide for most of the world's stock markets today following yesterday's powerful Wall Street rally. S&P futures are down 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over 1 million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla, not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Inc.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over 1 million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla, not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Inc.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Triviano.
Hey, welcome, everybody. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. Thanks for punching in with us on this early Wednesday morning program. I want to remind you a little later on in this hour at 7:50, First Shift will be occupied by Occupy Detroit, as they are every day at 7:50. But we have plenty to get to, including some open lines time in this hour. And a guest, an important guest. You know, we look at what's happening. We're in a brand new year. We take a look back at 2011. Some victories, some not so much so. We've struggled, but we also understand that in 2012, some of the greatest battles that we have to fight are battles that include you know, finding good candidates to run, that's important. We understand that we need to educate our fellow citizens on issues that matter to all of us. And part of that education process sometimes requires people to suspend a former belief system. One of the challenges, and I think we found this, and we're going to visit that at some point next week with Bruce Felk, who is the spokesperson for the new recall against Governor Rick Snyder, and we will visit that issue. There's also another recall going on, and they have been quietly, but with great strength, building momentum, and more importantly, having a strategy that they believe is a winning strategy to recall State Senator Phil Pavlov. Now, a lot of you are not going to be familiar with Senator Pavlov, but that's okay. That's part of why we are doing what we're doing today. You need to be educated as to what it is he's done and he's doing and why we need your help in this recall effort. Joining me now from St. Clair County is Stuart Sternberg. Stuart is an educator and an activist from St. Clair County who is currently serving as the spokesperson for the recall effort against State Senator Phil Pavlov. Before becoming an educator, Mr. Sternberg worked on the west side of Wayne County as a child advocate for large nonprofits, and he joins us this morning on First Shift. Happy New Year to you, Stuart. A pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Well, Happy New Year, and I'm sorry it's so cold.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. For those of us that get all heated up fighting these good fights, maybe the cold weather helps us in the long run. Let's talk, Stuart, a little bit about the good people in St. Clair County, the Democrats there, and why they have decided that State Senator Phil Pavlov deserves some attention and deserves, by the way, to be recalled.
Well, Mr. Pavlov, who is the Senate head of the Education Committee, has been instrumental in sponsoring numerous bills that have a goal of dismantling public education. What he's done is to represent his moneyed interest. There's a lot of money in education, a lot of money in standards-based, you know, testing, a lot of money in charter schools, and he's gone after it with a vengeance, representing the Mackinac Center and DeVos. And I like to say, there's not a thought that comes out of his lips that's not put there by the Mackinac Center. He's also been, and this should be of interest, especially with what's going on right now in Detroit, he's been a major proponent of the Public Act for the Emergency Manager Law. Matter of fact, and I want you to think about this, with all the petitions that were signed in order to put that repeal on the ballot, it was Pavlov who jumped up, sponsored a bill that would have changed the amendment, that would have changed the emergency manager law enough that would have made it difficult to proceed. Even though we had all the petition signed, it would have required some maneuvering. I mean, he will do anything to serve, you know, the status quo. And he's obviously much beloved by Dick Snyder. So two of the major reasons we're going after him, one is what he's done to education, which is hideous, and it's obviously representative of a trend across the country. And secondly, because of his support for the undemocratic, unconstitutional emergency manager law.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I said that this is a very deliberate and well-organized effort. I think you're actually kicking off the recall effort January 7th, if I have my information correct. Is
correct.
That true?
In Port Huron, we're going to be kicking it off, and it's going to be at 2441 West Water in Port Huron. And we hope to have a great many people, but that's just one signing event. That's just a kickoff. We'll be planning rallies and other events throughout the spring until April, when we'll hopefully have collected over 20,000 signatures, which we believe is absolutely an easy target to accomplish.
All right, and why, and I got to ask Stuart Sturberg, why have you folks waited this long to begin the process? I mean, you could have started, months ago, and yet you didn't. And, I'm just curious why you've waited until January.
Well, we authored a recall way back in May, and unfortunately, at some elements in St. Clair County are very much aligned with, in a power structure, very much aligned with Mr. Pavlov. The recall had to go to court for clarity hearings three different times, and it was a process. Once we had the recall language approved, we were looking at, well, do you start the recall going into, you know, the holiday season? That would be absurd. So we really had to wait for the holiday season to end and to hit spring. If we were going to be successful, we wanted to make sure that people had their calendars cleared and their minds were ready to take on a new challenge.
Yeah, and Stuart, just so the audience understands, timing is critical and important here, because you only have a prescribed amount of time to get the signatures. It's not like it's an open-ended thing.
No, there's a window, and that's one of the things that the Snyder recall went up against, was that window, and they were certainly gaining momentum toward the end of that window. I believe that when they relaunch, hopefully when they relaunch this summer, they'll be successful. Michigan Rising has their infrastructure in place, and that's one of the things we made sure we did before we jumped into it. We wanted our infrastructure to be in place.
Yeah, and I think you've done that in a very responsible way. There's no question about that. So what are you asking of this audience this morning, Stuart? What do you need us to do for you?
Well, there's a few things. One, people in the Detroit area need to realize, obviously, and you're seeing it, what Pavlov can do to Detroit. And there are teachers throughout Dearborn and Detroit and, you know, Wayne and Inkster, all throughout that community that are being directly affected by Pavlov. So if people think, well, this is St. Clair County's issue, it's St. Clair County's headache. They're wrong. This is for all of us. And one of the things they can do is it would help if they would go to the website we have, which is recallpavlov.org, and hopefully donate there. Recalls cost money, and although we have money being, you know, donated, we're going to be going, you know, Pavlov has behind him the DeVos. He has donations from all the charter school corporations, which are many. And people need to think about charter schools and what that means. You know, I talked to Pavlov. I talked to Pavlov several times, and I asked Pavlov, why are you so in favor of charter schools? Because they've recently lifted the cap. What makes charter schools special? What is it that they do that a regular school will not do or cannot do? I said, just tell me, because I assure you as an educator, if there was something that worked in a charter school, we'd be happy to take that on. The problem is charter schools have no pedagogical, no, you know, educational process that they do differently. In reality, it's all about killing a union. It's all about bean counting. It's all about rewarding. And what Pavlov said to me, and this is his quote, he said, you know, I had Jalen Rose come up and testify, and by the way, really the only people he had come testify before the committee were, you know, people who stood to profit from this, not from the other side. No one giving evidence. As a matter of fact, Pavlov had no idea who Diane Ravitch was, who's a major, you know, voice in education. And he said, Jalen Rose told me that he had 20 students in a classroom. And I asked Phil Pavlov, I said, do you think that 20 students in a classroom is an admirable number? He said, absolutely. I said, well, Phil, why don't you go ahead and sponsor a bill that would cap the number at 20? And for that, he remains speechless. and he remains speechless even when you talk about, you know, the idea that there's no answer for what makes a charter any better. And a matter of fact, if you look at the history of charters, many are performing way below. And what they've done is they've been competing with other public schools. They've been sapping the money, sapping the enrollment, and they've been killing public education. They've been doing that since the Engler administration.
Yeah, there's no question. And in fact, this administration has gone so much further than the Engler administration ever imagined Stuart trying to do. And so we need to pay attention. No question, that's true.
Let me tell you something else he said, and this is regarding the emergency manager, which should get the blood, you know, boiling for some people in Detroit. We were talking about caps on the emergency manager, you know, because these people make it a large.
You know, Stuart, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We got to take a break. Come back and stay with us. Come back and we'll pick it up from there. This is Stuart Sternberg with us. The recall of State Senator Phil Pavlov is our topic. We'll finish that thought on the other side of this. I'm Tony Trupiano. Feel free to join us, by the way, 888-552-3595. Happy New Year to you all. Let's take the break, and we'll continue on 1310 WDTW right after we do this.
It was $1 trillion and thousands of U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Iraq. It's $1 billion and no U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Libya. That's a pretty stark contrast.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update. Still big delays, 94 westbound after M10 from that earlier accident trying to clear from the right side. We've had icy conditions through that area. So 94, whether you're trying to get onto M10 or 96 or 75, anywhere through that whole stretch, very slick conditions. We're backed up from before Van Dyke on 94 west. I-75 south, we're backed up from before East Grand Boulevard for those trying to get down onto 94 westbound.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for partly sunny skies today. Our high is going to be near 34. Tonight, though, it'll be cloudy and a low near 26. Tomorrow, partly sunny and our high near 38. Looks like right now at Metro Airport, still overcast and 22 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Recently on First Shift.
All right, let's welcome Brian to First Shift.
I wanted to call in and talk about the comment somebody criticizing the station for being a tiny station.
Yeah, the Detroit Free Press today ran an article that they referred to it as a tiny radio station.
It proves that ignorance is indeed profound. Because of the internet and because of the smartphones, I'm listening to you from Fall River, Massachusetts, the home of freedom and independence and a progressive mind.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla... not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Inc.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Introducing the reinvented 2012 Toyota Camry. It's the most technologically advanced Camry ever. With the available Entune multimedia system, you can access apps like iHeartRadio, which gives you more than 750 radio stations from around the country. The reinvented 2012 Toyota Camry. It's ready. Are you? Learn more at toyota.com/Camry.
Be sure to obey traffic regulations and maintain awareness of road and traffic conditions. Not available on all models. Data charges may apply. See toyota.com/Entune for details.
Recently on First Shift.
Alan West, who's a congressman from Florida, gets his information from, what can we say, interesting sources? This is what he had to say on national television.
In the movie G.I. Jane, Demi Moore was waterboarded, and we do use that in military training.
G.I. Jane. He references G.I. Jane? Really?
Well, I think that the military needs to develop lightsabers because in the movie Star Wars, they proved to be pretty useful.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Tea Party guy, by the way.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm Fred Merlin Olsen, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up? Diggity doll.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, Stuart Sternberg, my guest. He is the communications spokesperson for the recall effort of State Senator Phil Pavlov in St. Clair County. I was fortunate enough to actually be invited there this past summer. A wonderful group of passionate Democrats out there. And what they're trying to tell you is pure and simple that Phil Pavlov, as the chairman of the Education Committee on the Senate side of the aisle, is not representing your interest for education. As Stuart was just about to tell us before we had to get to the break, for those of us, not only in the Detroit area, but listening all over the state of Michigan via the internet or iHeartRadio, his stance on Public Act 4 is something Stuart wanted to remind us. His stance on Public Act 4 is something Stuart wanted to remind us is something we'd want to hear. And what is that we'd want to hear, Stuart?
Well, Pavlov is an absolute supporter. He's going to, with the new year coming, trust me, he will be sponsoring more legislation to try to do an end run around the repeal of the Public Act, and that's the voice of the people. And, you know, one of the things that it's funny because I was talking about the bullying legislation, or I thought I mentioned it before, or maybe I didn't, but Pavlov was absolutely on board with the amendment that allowed bullying for moral and religious reasons. And when we said to Pavlov, how do you possibly justify supporting this? Pavlov said, well, you know, it's First Amendment rights. And yet when the voice of Michigan is heard through this repeal effort, through this, you know, against Public Act 4, the first thing that Pavlov does is to try to cut off the repeal through an amendment, which essentially stills the voice of the people that he allegedly went ahead to try to defend. At another meeting, which is what I was about to tell you, you know, these emergency managers can be paid an awful lot of money. I don't know what I can only imagine what a Detroit emergency manager would be paid. And
we can go. Roy Roberts is making over $200,000. He's with the Detroit school system, so you can imagine exponentially, Stuart. It's going to be much more than $200,000 a year.
And there's no cap on it. And I said that to Pavlov. I said, you know, why is it that you don't have a cap on it? Why do you have someone who's going to make that much money? That's obscene. There's no checks and balances. And, you know, Pavlov's first comment was a snarky reply, was, well, we were going to cap it at the salary of the MEA president, you know, which is a stupid statement. And then he followed it up with saying, look, we're not going to cap it because we want to be able to attract people from the private sector. I was stunned by that statement. And it also highlights his hypocrisy, because as soon as they start talking about public employees, the comment is, well, we don't want to pay public employees should be competitive with what the pay is in the private sector. Well, you know, the reality is that it's not competitive. People who are educators, if you were doing the same work, if you had the same educational background, regardless of what the Heritage Foundation may have said in an editorial in the New York Times, you'd be making much, much more money. I'd be making much more money in the private sector. The idea that you're going to bribe these, you know, people, it's cronyism is what it is. It's always been cronyism for Snyder. And that should get the people in the community up and at him.
Well, again, there's no question that Phil Pavlov is the Pied Piper, and he should be answerable to what he's done, you know. And as we're about to find out here, Stuart, you know, the cuts in education. Phil Pavlov was a leader in ramming that through the state senate. And as we're about to find out, there's going to be monies available. Will he then be a leader in restoring the cuts to education? I'll bet you and I can take a guess at what the answer to that question is.
I'm willing to bet the answer to that is no. Or if they do cuts, they'll do it like they've done, or restore it, they'll do it like Snyder did last time, which was to say, okay, we'll give you money to different schools, districts, but we'll do it as an incentive. You have to do these following things. And, you know, playing Snyder's game. The thing that people in Detroit and throughout the state need to realize is this is a battle. It's ongoing. Snyder's only one person. People need to go after Jace Bolger. They need to go after Snyder. They need to go after those individuals who have shown that they don't have an allegiance to the people in the city or the people in the state. They have an allegiance to their corporate sponsor. And if you look at Pavlov, another reason to be concerned about Pavlov is he is the vice chair of the Committee on Natural Resources, Environment, and the Great Lakes. And right now, Bill Schuette, another charmer, the Attorney General has, if I'm not mistaken, filed suit in order to keep Michigan corporations from having to adhere to different EPA standards regarding mercury poisoning. And I can promise you, with Pavlov, if you look at his sponsorship, Pavlov is going to be supporting that. And mercury poisoning is a major issue in Detroit. The Great Lakes State, we rely on the Great Lakes for tourism and for, you know, important agricultural and water sources. So there's so many reasons for people in Detroit to get behind this recall and to pressure, you know, other institutions. They should be on the phone to the, you know, American Federation of Teachers. They should be on the phone to the MEA. They should be on the phone to their local, you know, representatives saying, this is, we're supporting this, we need to push this. And again, I urge them to go to the website, which is, and I hope you put it on your webpage, and the website is recallpavlov.org, and I hope they go there and make a contribution, because we need to get this, keep this fight going and go hard.
Yeah, you can count on us, and we'll have it up on the Facebook page here in just a few minutes, and we'll make sure that it's already up on Facebook, and my producer Jeff just told me. So
great,
people can go there and check it out. You know, it's important that as we work together as a region, and that's really why, you know, part of the reason that I have you here today, Stuart, is that this is a regional issue. Actually, it's a statewide issue. There's nothing that you've talked about today that doesn't affect anybody, no matter where they're listening in the state of Michigan. And because of his chairmanships, Phil Pavlov is dangerous. And if we have a chance to recall somebody like this, and again, the timing is the timing. And I thought it was actually brilliant that you waited until you had the window you needed to responsibly do this. And I'm hoping that you get the support that ultimately you will need to gather the signatures, the 20,000 plus signatures that you need. In the process, please keep in touch with us. Let us know how things are going so that we can update the audience from time to time, Stuart.
I will be happy to, and I hopefully you can give me another call, or I'll give you a call, and we'll stay in touch. And Tony, please come back up to St. Clair County and give us a visit.
Absolutely. I loved my visit there, and appreciated it. And my best to Susan and everybody with the Democratic Club there, and again, my anything I can do to help you with the recall, you know I'm there for you.
And to the people in Detroit, stay strong.
All right, thank you. Stuart Sternberg again with the Recall Pavlov campaign. Again, if you just go to the First Shift Facebook page, you'll find the link there now. We have to take a quick break when we come back. Open lines, this is Tony Truppiano. You're listening to First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our total traffic update includes the delays coming down I-75. Those trying to get on to 94 West, that's all backed up because of the backups on 94. Trying to come in from Van Dyke, heading west toward M-10. An earlier accident still trying to clear. We've got slick conditions on ramps, bridges, overpasses. Also, that earlier problem, Pontiac Trail near Old Plank, trying to get that cleared.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for partly sunny skies today. Our high is going to be near 34. Tonight, though, it'll be cloudy and a low near 26. Tomorrow, partly sunny and our high near 38. Looks like right now at Metro Airport, still overcast and 22 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
You're listening to Wind, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
Some politicians are playing politics, pushing a so-called right-to-work law. This law is an attack on working people and does nothing to create jobs. We need our leaders to stop targeting workers and start working to fix our economy.
Indiana Republicans are trying to push through a so-called right-to-work law aimed at weakening workers' union rights. Indiana AFL-CIO spokesperson Jeff Harris says Republicans are locking Hoosiers out of their statehouse while they carry out their attack on working families.
As the legislature goes into session, we will try to have people enter the statehouse, and there will be thousands of people outside the statehouse trying to get in. It's designed literally by the 1% to attack the 99%. Right to work is about taking unions down. Organized labor is the last great voice standing in opposition to total corporate control, and that's what they're going after. Stood strong last year. We fought not only right to work, but onslaught lot of other anti-worker bills, and we are going to try to do our best again, but the tactics that we're seeing in Indiana, like we saw in Wisconsin, are just chilling.
The Indiana AFL-CIO says if this deceptively titled right-to-work legislation is passed, it will have a wide-ranging and overwhelmingly negative impact on workers' wages, safety conditions, and rights on the job. Cooper Tire workers in Findlay, Ohio, are on day 40 of being locked out of their production plant. Jesse Russell reports.
More than 1,000 workers are being denied work due to an inability to reach a new contract agreement.
The last time the company sat down with the United Steelworkers Union, which represents the employees at the plant, was on December 13th. This weekend, Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown met with the employees to tell them he would do everything he can to get them back to work, and he called what Cooper was doing unfair.
Productivity of American workers continues to go up. Corporate profits continue to go up, yet wages are stagnant, and that's a shrinking middle class.
No new dates have been set for negotiations, but a federal mediator is scheduled to begin setting up discussions the week of January 11th.
During the Rose Bowl parade this week, a Wisconsin marching band stopped and broke into its rendition of the 1940 Woody Guthrie pro-labor song, Union Made. Commentators were clueless that the band was making a pro-union statement.
They just stopped in the middle of this band, and they're just getting down.
They just said, you want to get to this parade every so often, we're going to have some fun. Look at, they're doing their stuff. They think it's halftime.
That's a halftime performance. Are you kidding me?
This newscast made possible in part by Ulico, the Union Labor Life Insurance Company. You've been listening to WIND, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. I want to welcome everybody back to First Shift. And we've the Iowa caucuses, of course, last night. We know the results. We know that, Newt Gingrich is mad. We know lots of things. We're going to be open lines up until 7:50, so if you'd care to join us, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Mitt Romney's very cocky this morning. You can just see he's got a little swagger to him. He's on Morning Joe right now on MSNBC, and I don't have the sound on, but I can just tell, and it's kind of making my skin crawl just by the way he's sitting there, that he thinks he's the cat's pajamas. And I guess this morning he is. He is. We'll see how all this plays out. No question about that. No surprises in the result yesterday, by the way. Rick Santorum, because he was such a darling of the evangelical right, was the only real option for the evangelical right, with the exception of, some would say, Newt Gingrich. The problem with Newt Gingrich is that he has a past. And part of his past includes infidelity. And you don't endear yourself to the evangelical right by being an infidel. That's very, very true. All right, very, very quickly, as I mentioned yesterday, today is a big day for my family, although I think Anthony's feeling a little differently about it than his mother and I. But my son Dominic goes up to Michigan State today. So after the show today, we will be going home and packing up the truck and bringing Dominic up to and dropping him off in East Lansing and hopefully getting him a little bit settled in his room, his dorm room, as he begins his first semester at Michigan State. Now, this is not his first semester of college, but it is his first semester at Michigan State. For some of you, because Michigan State was not the only college that did this, there were a few of them. They split their their freshman class between the fall and the spring semester. This is considered the spring semester, and so he began in the spring as opposed to the fall, which is fine. But it's not going to be an easy day for me. I can just tell you that right now. It's not going to be an easy day for me. And not because I don't like Michigan State, it's not having them home. Anybody, again, I said this yesterday, anybody that's been in that situation knows what I'm talking about. Yes, it's a good thing. Yeah, I understand all that. It's still, he's my baby. It's tough to do this. It's just tough to do this. All right, Jeff, I pulled out this next story for you because I know that you're really into social media, and each candidate on the Republican side has been given a score, a media score. I'm sorry, a social media score, And it's based on their, you know, the way they use social media. As an example, Jeff, Michelle Bachmann has 36,262 Twitter followers. And that's for her presidential campaign. Her congressional account has 126,842. Her Facebook page likes is at 460,290. And her YouTube channel views is 1.3 million plus YouTube channel views. Now, there's something called clout. Are you familiar with clout?
The word?
No, not the word. The service, the clout. Obviously, you're not.
No. Okay. I thought we were doing that thing we did yesterday.
I
know this one, Tony.
No,
clout.
Sorry, and yet you don't. Clout, here, let me just go back and read what it says what clout is. Let's see. It says that, clout is basically a service that rates based on a scale of 1 to 100. It rates what their social media score is. So the higher the score, the better you rate in social media. Her clout score would be 68 out of 100. Newt Gingrich, as an example, has 1.385 million Twitter followers. He has 224,000 plus Facebook likes, over 6.3 million YouTube channel views, and his clout score is 78. John Huntsman, not doing as well as the others, 66,000 plus Twitter followers, 30,785 Facebook likes, just 635,000 plus YouTube channel views, and his clout score is 70. And you know what helped his clout score?
His daughters.
His daughters, absolutely.
I was just about to say, I bet you their clout score is probably maybe even higher than the rest of the field.
Not true, actually.
No? Did they have his daughters' clout score there? I didn't see it. I didn't know. I don't know. But, I mean, they are, first of all, they attract a lot of attention. They're easy on the eyes. And second of all, they're pretty, you know, they're pretty clever in how they've been able to.
Yeah, they don't have their clout score, but that doesn't mean I can't find it. So I will come back to you on that, okay?
Okay.
A little later on in the show today. Let me see if I can find that. Ron Paul has 150,000 plus Twitter followers, 675,000 plus likes on Facebook, and 35 million plus YouTube channel views, which is huge. His clout score is 75. Rick Perry, his Twitter followers, 111,000 plus. Facebook likes, 180,000 plus. YouTube channel views, 13 million plus. His clout score is 74. The last two are going to be Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum. Mitt Romney has 219,000 Twitter followers, 1.2 million Facebook likes. He does not have an official YouTube channel, which I thought was interesting. And his clout score is 78, which is, by the way, the highest of all of the candidates. And last but not least, Rick Santorum has 52,800 Twitter followers, 42,000 plus likes on Facebook, 43,000 YouTube channel views, and his clout score is 70. So he does actually the worst of all of them, with the exception of the clout score, which not everybody takes very seriously. But that's it. That's how they do from a social media perspective. I think the good news, for people like you, Mr. Radford, and your generation, if you will, is that they do take social media seriously, as they should. Obviously, they should.
Well, it's easier for people to stay in touch, like Twitter. 140 characters, that's about the attention span that people have these days. Like, give it to me quick, short, and let me move on kind of thing. So people that take advantage of it, I think, you know, the Obama administration is a great example of an administration that was able to use social media to get people to rally and interested in that campaign.
Well, you know, I think it's important that that they utilize whatever they have at their disposal. It's good to see that they are utilizing whatever they have at their disposal. And, you know, and what a lot of people don't realize this, Jeff, and I believe you know this, but a lot of people don't understand that, you know, the vast majority of people that work on campaigns are younger. They're in their 20s. The vast majority are. And so this is the way they move information. So it would just make, I think at some level, it would just make sense that they would utilize social media, because that is what the majority of their, you know, that's what the majority of them are using themselves. And why would you not utilize that? So it makes complete and total sense to me. But I found it to be interesting that, you know, somebody took the time to go out and put all that information together. You know, the cloud thing is again, not as big a deal as some of the other measurements that that we explored in that last segment, but it's interesting nonetheless. It's interesting nonetheless. Time Magazine has something called the Buzz Meter, and it's the social media, again, sticking within the social media realm, and how each candidate is doing with the Buzz Meter. And I'll just, you know, here's, interestingly, the number one, you're going to get a kick out of this, Jeff, the number one, including Barack Obama and all of the Republican candidates, who do you think is number one in the Buzz Meter?
Barack Obama.
No, it's Mitt Romney, interestingly enough.
Well, that is pretty interesting.
In fact, he has a 46% rating as opposed to Barack Obama's 41% rating, which puts him at number two. John Huntsman's number three, and I think we're going to give some credit to his daughters. Again, it doesn't say that, but I think we will. Number four is Newt Gingrich. Number five, Rick Santorum. Number six, Ron Paul. Number seven, Michelle Bachmann. And number eight is Rick Perry, who lags far behind everybody. But he's on the Buzz Meter. This is just what's called the Buzz Meter. So it's just how they're plugged into social media and how much attention their social media actually garners. And, yeah, I would have thought it would have been Barack Obama as well, but he was number two. And, you know, at some point, you know, let's do this very quickly now before we go to the break. Explain a hashtag to people, because I got an email yesterday, somebody asking me what a hashtag was. Explain that again.
It's an easy way to organize thoughts and ideas. You just put a hashtag, yeah, it's the number sign, and then what it is. And so, you know, like the one we had on earlier, one is hashtag, the number one, and the letter U, one U. And that was our friends at the We Party Patriots. That just organizes union thoughts. If you have a union thought, you're going to tweet about something.
Well, we need a hashtag for First Shift, don't we?
We do. It can't be, by the way, it can't be hashtag First Shift. Because apparently that's a hockey. A lot of people use it for hockey.
All right. So we
have to come up with a unique, maybe like 1ST Tony or something.
All right. So somebody out there needs to create a hashtag for First Shift as we're looking to gear up our social media presence, see what our clout score will be. All right. We'll take a quick break here. When we continue, Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift. Our guest is waiting. Let's take a quick break here. We will come back. The voice of the people. That's right. Good morning to you. First Shift continues right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us just don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
recently on First Shift.
We're going to go to the phones and welcome our first caller of the year 2012. Jeff in Milford joins us. Jeff, welcome to First Shift.
Are you kidding me? I'm the first one? What a delight and privilege. This is going to be a good day. I can see that right now. It's like I was telling Junior there. As soon as this show goes up on the podcast, I'm downloading it. I'm burning this with CDs, and I'm mailing it out to some friends of mine. So.
You're the man.
First Shift with Tony Trio on 1310 WDTW. Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It is 7:50. That means only one thing. It's time for Occupy Detroit to occupy First Shift, and it is really actually an honor today that we welcome the Vice President of UAW Local 600, A.J. Freer, to our show to talk about a little bit of the Henry situation, update us a little bit on that, and to talk about some of the bigger picture things that they're involved in, including something that has really piqued my interest, a Justice Center. We'll get the information on all that. But, A.J., let me welcome you to First Shift. A pleasure to have you on for the first time. Happy New Year to you, brother.
Happy New Year, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing quite well. Hey, very, very quickly, the Free Press did a wonderful job of covering the Henrys' pilgrimage yesterday from their house to the Bank of America building, and the UAW showed up in fine fashion yesterday to escort the Henrys there, and we're hoping to have good news for that family real soon here, AJ.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And just to let you know, I got Mark DePauli here, another officer, joining us. He was part of the march yesterday with over 60 of our members showing up. Our goal is to bring heat to the street and stop these foreclosures, doing anything we have to do, putting support behind the community to stop the decimation of our communities by these foreclosures.
Now, you know, it's a shame, as again, we talked about this briefly yesterday, but you know, I just wanted to, again, so that everybody understands, not that they don't at this point, but I want to just reiterate, the Henrys can afford to live in their damn house. I mean, this is to me, that's the outrage in this, AJ, is that these folks can absolutely afford to live where they're living, just modify their damn mortgage and let them live there.
Yeah, that's the key, is that we need everybody to understand, rich and poor and everybody in between. The Henrys and a lot of Americans out there, especially the people in Michigan, are not looking for handouts. They're looking to stay in their homes and make reasonable payments. And there's precedent in history for this, going back to the 1930s, where they suspended foreclosures and made people pay based on their ability to pay. So, again, they're not looking for a handout. What particularly struck me about the Henrys is you know their history and the challenges that they faced, along with, you know, a lot of Americans out there. They're out there helping people as well that are going through the same thing they are. So these are hardworking people that want to pay their mortgage, and they want to bring light to this issue. And we have their backs here at Local 600.
Well, there's no question. Let's talk a little bit about labor's involvement in the Occupy movement and how critical, AJ, that is, because, you know, certainly, let's as an example use yesterday, if the UAW doesn't show up, local 600 doesn't show up, you were clearly at least half, if not more, of the folks that showed up to support the Henrys yesterday. That changes the equation quite a bit. Why is labor so why has labor decided that that the Occupy movement is something they need to get involved in?
Well, what it really is a strategy by the UAW going back to our roots. The UAW has been intertwined with the civil rights movement and the human rights movement all throughout history. Not only do we try to provide good benefits and wages for our members, but we're also an institution that pushes for social justice for all Americans. The consumers are the ones that buy our products, and they need a good standard of living and the ability to protect their families in order for all Americans to do well. So we're really trying to stick up for everybody everywhere.
Well, it just seems to me, you know, it's for me. And again, well, let's very quickly, because we don't have a lot of time left, talk about this Justice Center idea and kind of flesh that out for us a little bit, AJ, so that people have an idea of what we're talking about.
Yeah, I really got to give a lot of props to my president, Bernie Ricci. He was the one that kind of came up with the concept of a Justice Center where we can do education for our members and our activists here. We can have a network of activists that can rapidly respond to situations in the community. Whether it be immigration, whether it be the foreclosure crisis that we have going on right now, food for people that need it, veterans out there trying to get jobs, you know, that are coming home and they have nowhere to get a job. We're really trying to help the Southwest, Dearborn communities and Metro Detroit area.
Well, again, you know, I got to go back, and I always got to give Bob King credit for this, because we were at a rally together, and, you know, we were talking. He was giving his speech, and he was talking about what the state legislature had been doing, and, you know, he came up with one of my favorite lines, and I hate the line because it's true, but I love it because it's also true, that budgets are moral documents. And we saw what this legislature did with their budget. You know, to the state of Michigan, cutting funding to education, cutting funding to social programs and to social justice programs. And AJ, as we take a look at that and we understand what Bob is saying about these being, you know, these being moral documents, that the legislature seems to have forgotten that they have a moral responsibility to the very people that elected them to serve us. And I don't see them serving us at this point, AJ.
I agree. I believe that's going to show in the next coming election. We're going to put Barack Obama back in office, and we're going to march forward and take back the House and the Senate. And they've taken things too far. The richest 1% in this country, they've woken a sleeping giant. Labor's joined forces with churches and other institutions of the community, and we're going to take back this country.
Well, you know, there's, and it's interesting because you said it perfectly. You have woken a sleeping giant. You know, I'm, you know, and some of the audience get upset at me, but it's true. In 2010, unfortunately, Democrats didn't go out and vote. We can blame everybody else if we want to, but the reality is we ourselves did not go out and vote. The other part of the equation that we also need to own is we had too many union families voting Republican. I hope that they've gotten it out of their system, AJ, and I hope they've learned their lesson.
I agree. Decisions are made by people that show up. It's our job here at the UAW, and we're very focused on getting out the vote. Bernie Ricci, Region 1A Director Rory Gamble, we have a vast network of phone banking and driving, and we put feet to the pavement, knock on doors, and talk to people. And we're committed to doing that again, and we're going to do it better than we did last time. I'm very confident that this membership and the activists that we have at Local 600, we're going to get it done.
Well, you know, I often have used the saying on the show, if you're in a union, you need to get closer to your union. If you're not in a union, you need to get into one. Part of the reason, AJ, you need to do that, and certainly the UAW has been a leader for many, many years now. Their CAP program, getting people involved, you know, knocking on doors. Certainly there's no better get-out-the-vote organization than organized labor. And the UAW has always been a leader in that regard as well. So, you know what? I guess if they're going to poke a sleeping bear, I'd rather they poked you guys, and I'm glad I'm on your side, AJ.
Well, God bless you, Tony. We love the work you do, too, brother.
Thank you so much. Listen, have a great day, and we'll hopefully get you back on. And as we both continue to support the Occupy Detroit movement, A.J. Freer again with UAW Local 600. Thanks again for your time today, A.J.
You take care, Tony.
Absolutely. God bless you, brother. All right, a quick break here for the top of the hour. Steven Henderson with the Detroit Free Press. On his first visit of the year, 2012, when First Shift continues. Stay with us.
WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes, I think, the surprise that people forget cold temperatures means slick spots on the roads. And also, as you try to go from one freeway to the other, those ramps, bridges, overpasses, very slick. We've been dealing with a problem all morning, 94 West near M10 because of icy conditions, earlier accidents, and big backups. Same thing with the delays on 75. So be very careful going from one freeway to the other.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for partly sunny skies today. Our high is going to be near 34. Tonight, though, it'll be cloudy and a low near 26. Tomorrow, partly sunny and our high near 38. Looks like right now at Metro Airport, still overcast and 22 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310WDTW,
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, New Hampshire on Tuesdays, the next stop on the primary campaign trail. CNN's Lisa Desjardins reports Mitt Romney edged past Rick Santorum in last night's Iowa caucuses, but by only 8 votes.
Romney earned almost exactly the same number of votes as he did in 2008, but Santorum's late surge took him from 5th place to within fingers' reach of victory.
A Green Beret back from Afghanistan is charged with trying to take explosives onto a flight in Midland, Texas. CNN's Edgar Tragetz has more.
Trey Scott Atwater told authorities he did not remember packing C4 explosives in his carry-on or remember a smoke grenade found in his bag earlier in his trip. Atwater could face up to 10 years in prison, but officials have said the Green Beret was not involved with anything nefarious.
Iran's threats to shut down the critical Strait of Hormuz shipping lane sent the price of oil up yesterday. It closed at $103 a barrel, highest price since last May. Economist Robert Bruska says Americans need to understand that volatility is part of the oil market for just this reason.
Oil comes from the Middle East. It's a politically unstable area. And these things are going to happen from time to time. We've been through this before. We'll be through this again.
Well, the new year's a good time to count your blessings. And CNN's Andy Rose brings us a study that shows just how lucky most Americans really are.
A study by a World Bank economist says even people in the bottom 5% of the U.S. are still financially better off than 2/3 of the whole world. It only takes $34,000 a year per person in a household to be among the world's richest 1%.
The mayor of North Chicago placed the city's police chief on leave, and the mayor hired a retired officer to lead an investigation into 6 cases of alleged excessive use of force by police over the past 18 months. Officials say Mount Rainier National Park in Washington State will reopen Saturday. It's been closed since a man shot and killed a park ranger on New Year's Day, and the gunman was found dead in the park the next day. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Well, I'm a salesman, and I'm on my feet all day long, so comfort's really important to me. That's why I tried the Profoot 2-ounce Miracle insoles.
Only the 2-ounce Miracle is made with custom-forming VitaFoam to keep your feet steady and comfortable. The Profoot 2-ounce Miracle insoles conform to the unique shape of your feet, just like custom orthotics. Plus, they cushion and support your feet for amazing comfort.
What a huge difference they make. It's really a miracle.
Try the Profoot 2-ounce Miracle insole, available at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and other fine stores.
Millions of fans agree. Cable's new hit series is on the Weather Channel.
So let's go!
Coast Guard Alaska.
So don't get on scene. No one else will.
Fly along on bone-chilling rescues in some of the world's most extreme weather.
If you make a mistake, call someone in life.
Out here, Heroes come in waves.
You have the potential to save someone that's out there.
Coast Guard Alaska, Wednesday nights at 9, with new episodes beginning January 11th, only on The Weather Channel.
The parade of reports on jobs, culminating in Friday morning's December employment report, has begun. Business software maker Intuit reports that U.S. small business created 55,000 jobs last month after adding 70,000 new jobs in November. Tomorrow we get the December reading of private sector job growth plus the reading of new jobless claims for the final week of 2011. One of the former powerhouses of American industry and of Wall Street is about to be shown the door. The New York Stock Exchange has issued a delisting order for Eastman Kodak, whose shares have been trading at less than a dollar for weeks. Kodak, whose shares were listed on the Dow from 1930 to 2004, fell victim to the digital imaging revolution. Kodak shares lost more than 80% of their value in 2011. Stock futures had been near the flat line for much of the morning, but are now beginning to move south. S&P futures down 3, NASDAQ futures down 1, Dow futures off 30. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla, not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Inc.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla, not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Inc.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is First Shift. A pleasure to be with you. Tony Trupiano with you. I do want to let you know, so I don't forget before we get out of here today, I'm actually not going to be here tomorrow. And we're going to run a best of show. I just have a commitment that I have to take care of. So we will be back live on Friday. And normally I was, of course, wouldn't take a day off after we just took a week off. But it is what it is. And we got to take care of what we got to take care of. So I'm just letting you know, we got some good stuff coming to you tomorrow and just won't be live. We do have a great hour planned for you today, though, and we are live right now, and if you want to join us at any time throughout the hour, feel free to do that, 888-552-3599. 9-5. Guys, go ahead and give me my intro, and let's get this thing going.
Editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal.
The Detroit Free Press's and First Shift voice of reason.
One of the questions that, again, the governor is going to have to face is, can you afford to come in and make police officers and other public safety workers less comfortable than they are? You're especially going to need them to keep the city from completely crumbling while you do this restructuring.
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And he joins us in a happy new year to Mr. Stephen Henderson. Stephen, a pleasure to have you back on the show, and happy new year to you.
Happy new year to you, Tony.
Pleasure to, really, I was very much looking forward to today, especially when I got up this morning and saw the topics that you had chosen. Of course, Iowa is something that we spent a lot of time in the first hour of the show talking about today. And you know, just unfiltered, want to know your thoughts on the results of last night Iowa caucus.
Well, it was more exciting than it normally is, right? I mean, it goes down to 1:30 a.m. and they're still counting votes. So if you're, you know, if you're a political junkie, this is exactly the kind of contest that you wanted. At the same time, I think if you're a Republican, I think you got to be scratching your head just a little bit about the results, which are not terribly different than what we thought they would be, but I think say a lot about, number one, the dissatisfaction with Mitt Romney, who is by far the strongest GOP candidate in the field, at least in terms of general election prospects, but also the number of votes that went to some of these other candidates who really don't have a chance and who really, I think, don't represent the core values of the GOP. And so I think we are in for a very long primary season that could drag, you know, well into the spring before Republicans really figure out what it is they want to do this year.
Well, let me ask you about, and this was a matter of great discussion earlier on in the show. Rick Santorum, obviously, I understand that the evangelical base of the people of Iowa are going to love this guy. There's a lot to love about him if you're a very conservative Republican. But I don't see, as Mike Huckabee didn't see 4 years ago, I don't see that Rick Santorum is going to get this huge boost going into New Hampshire. Or do I have it wrong, Stephen?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what he'll do in New Hampshire, and I mean, it's a very different state from Iowa, obviously, and voters there are not nearly as drawn to evangelical candidates as they are in Iowa. But I think at this point, it's all about Romney. It's all about what these other candidates suggest about Romney. It's what the votes that go for these candidates say about the dissatisfaction with Romney. And so in Iowa yesterday, it was that, you know, you've got this evangelical base that's restless and unsure of a guy who's not that conservative. Mitt Romney, despite what he's been saying during the campaign, was, you know, governed as a pretty moderate Republican in Massachusetts, has changed his mind a lot of time on a lot of different issues, and also as a Mormon. I mean, I think that is increasingly going to be something that the evangelical base of the party is going to have a hard time with, and there's just going to be people who can't be won over. In New Hampshire, I think the bigger threat will come from Ron Paul, whose libertarianism and point of view is going to be more appealing to conservatives there. And again, the question is Mitt Romney the kind of conservative that most GOP voters can get behind? And that's the problem that they're having. It's like they can't bring themselves to get behind this guy at this point, and so they're just sort of flailing and going after, you know, flavor of the month other candidates who appeal to them on really sort of primal basis.
All right, well, then I just have a million things going through my mind right now, so let me just start with this, and I'm going to throw it out there. 25%. Mitt Romney ends up with 25% of the vote last night.
Right.
He's been basically running for 5 years.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be able to get over that 25% margin. Doesn't that send a message to the electorate as well that you know that really we're in, you know, the Republicans are not comfortable with this guy?
They aren't comfortable with Mitt Romney, and I mean, if you look at how much money he spent in Iowa, and of course now that we've got this weird Supreme Court decision that says independent groups can spend as much as they want, it's very hard to track who spent what. But money that he spent and money that was spent on his behalf, I mean, this is a campaign in Iowa that topped $12 million this year, which was a record. And a lot of that was Mitt Romney and his supporters really taking after Newt Gingrich and several other candidates, really trying to make the case that Romney is the guy, and people didn't buy it. 75% of the voters went for somebody else. That is not a good sign for this candidacy. You know, and the irony remains, I think, that as hard of a time as Romney had last night, and as hard of a time as I think he's going to have in states like South Carolina, other southern states, I mean, he's got a tough road ahead. I think if he gets through it, this is the guy who has the best chance to actually win the election in November. Now, I don't happen to think that he will, but I think that a Romney-Obama matchup is going to keep us up much later on election night in November than any of these other people. And that's the central struggle here for the GOP. It's a question of whether they want to win or whether they want to make a point. Sticking by someone like Rick Santorum, who would just get clobbered by Barack Obama, is not going to get you the White House in November. At the same time, I think they are just unable to bring themselves to come to terms with a bunch of different things about Mitt Romney. And it is a bunch of different things. It's not just his religion. It's not just his flip-flopping. It's a question of his core conservative values. And I don't know how he's going to end up having to resolve that.
Well, let's turn our attention for just a moment now to Newt Gingrich, who he's a one pissed off hombre today. and he has a right to be. I mean, he was clobbered by PAC money. And yeah. it's Mitt Romney money. We can slice it up any way we want. It's Mitt Romney money. It's Mitt Romney's people attacking him. And as a result of that, he comes in fourth place. But he comes in fourth place in a state that I don't know that he would have done better than second anyway. New Hampshire, if he can garner some cash reserves, he can go into New Hampshire and start beating up on Mitt Romney. It's my belief, and my belief only, he could do quite well in New Hampshire.
I think he could rebound in New Hampshire. I mean, I think the Gingrich story is really interesting because, again, this is a guy who was all dressed to go to the prom, and his date didn't show. I mean, a couple weeks ago, he was on top of the world, and again, it's still the narrative here is being framed by Romney. It's that people were uncomfortable with Romney, so they went to Gingrich after they had gone to Herman Cain, after they had gone, you know, there's been this sort of series of alternatives who sort of floated to the top and then sunk again. But the PAC money problem, I think, Gingrich is absolutely right that this sort of unidentified sort of stealth campaigning that these super PACs are doing is, I mean, it just did him in Iowa. And that's, you know, this is round one. I mean, we are going to see so much of this year because of that Supreme Court decision. This is how campaigns now are going to be waged. It's not going to be that your candidate, the candidate you like, trashes his or her opponents. It's going to be that these other interests who don't identify themselves, don't say where their money comes from, come out and do it for them, which is really, it's just going to be a mess. And again, the amount of money that's going to be involved is just going to blow people's minds. $12 million spent in a state where there are 30,000 total votes in a caucus. I mean, it's a staggering amount, and we're just going to see this over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Until this is over.
We have to take a quick break. Stephen Henderson, again, my guest. He's the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press. We're going to take a real quick break here. A little more to talk about. We'll also get into the emergency manager. A potential for an emergency manager in Detroit. Lots has happened since Stephen was last with us, and it was only a little over a week ago. So everybody stay right where they're at. First Shift will continue right after we take this quick break.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
And so, but am I ready for the next level? Let me tell you, I hope I am the Tim Tebow of the Iowa caucuses.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes an accident working on the Southfield Freeway northbound, M39. Looks like just north of 8 Mile in the left lane. We've got a number of cars involved in that, so some slow traffic for those trying to head toward maybe M10. If you're on 75 northbound near 12 Mile, we've got word of an accident. Looks like also our earlier problem, 75 near 94, 94 West near M10, all of that has cleared.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Our forecast from the National Weather Service does include some sun today. Our high near 34. Tonight, though, we'll see the clouds and a low near 26 tomorrow. Partly sunny skies and our high near 38. Metro Airport, we have overcast skies and 24 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla... not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Inc.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and pay time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
Recently on First Shift,
NBA veteran and former star of the Michigan Fab Five, Jalen Rose.
There's no way we can help turn around the fate of our great
great city if we're not educating our youth. Now, you know what those numbers will do. They'll increase the crime rate. They will increase the poverty rate. They'll increase the migration rate of families who now feel like they need to move out of the Detroit area to really find quality schools and opportunity and jobs for their families.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show, and Tony.
And welcome back, and definitely welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press is my guest. We're talking about the Iowa caucuses. And, you know, certainly I think Rick Perry made it clear when he said he's going back home, Stephen, to reassess his campaign. He's done. I would think that that's pretty clear.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he did so poorly. There's not much point in him going on to New Hampshire. The big question with Perry, you know, the big question going forward this week and up into New Hampshire is, as people sort of get out of the race, who do their voters gravitate toward? And if you're Romney, you desperately, desperately need, you know, you need Perry's voters to decide that they're going to go for you and not one of these other candidates. And that's really going to determine how long this takes for him to actually get the nomination. You know, GOP voters have got to decide whether this is a guy they can get behind in the general election or not. And I ultimately think they will, but I think it's going to be a very public, very drawn out, nasty battle.
Well, Jeff just sends me a note, Stephen, that Michelle Bachmann's campaign has just announced a press conference at 10 a.m. and that she's canceled her trip to South Carolina.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, this is expensive for these candidates. You know, I mean, and it's not a joke to run for president. You can't just keep doing it if you're only coming up with a handful of votes. And you had a lot of people in the race who looked promising at some point, but then ended up flagging badly, and they got crushed yesterday. I think we're going to see a string of announcements very soon saying, you know, I'm not going to keep doing this anymore. And you know, who do they end up endorsing? That's one question. You know, is Rick Perry going to endorse Mitt Romney, or is he going to throw his weight behind somebody else? And then are his voters going to follow suit so that they can get this together and go forward?
Well, again, you're right. It is an expensive proposition. I think that's putting it lightly. And I spent some considerable time early this morning listening to all of their speeches. Michelle Bachmann's speech was, as it always is, about Barack Obama, not about her chances, not about her platform. It's always about defeating Barack Obama and how horrible he is for the country. And she's been very consistent. And that's been her message. If she were to walk away today, I don't know that even her throwing whatever weight she feels she has behind a candidate is going to help them a whole lot, because she hasn't been taken seriously for a very long time now.
No, well, she's not a serious candidate. I mean, there are a lot of candidates still in the race. I don't think Ron Paul is a very serious candidate, although, you know, judging from yesterday, the GOP voters would disagree with me. But so many of these candidates don't have any real weight when it comes to either national or international issues that they would face on a daily basis in the White House. Or they don't understand the Constitution, which always mesmerizes me. People who are in public service who think the Constitution either says things that it doesn't say, or doesn't say things that are explicitly in there. Bachmann fits in that category. I think Ron Paul's view of the Constitution is bizarre and somewhat contrived from an ideological point of view. But these are not presidential. These are not presidential people, and they're not presidential hopefuls in any meaningful sense. They will not win in November. I would put Santorum in that category.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
There's nothing about him. There's never been anything. You know, I worked in Washington for 5 years, covered the Supreme Court, and and got to know a lot of these people because you end up, you know, it's across the street from Congress, and you end up over there a lot for hearings and things. There's nothing about Rick Santorum that's ever struck me as presidential. I mean, he is a bitterly partisan evangelical who represents, you know, a certain swath of constituents, but really has struggled with broader appeal outside of Pennsylvania. I'm shocked, frankly, that he did as well as he did in Iowa yesterday. But again, I think that has less to do with him than it does to do with Mitt Romney. Voters are just not sure about this guy, and they are running to anything they can to sort of say we need more.
Yeah, you're saying this just so beautifully this morning. Very quickly, I want to get to a call because we're very short on time. And want to make sure that you all join us if you feel like you want to. 888-552-3595. Jeff in Utica joins us now. Jeff, you're on the air with Stephen Henderson.
Good morning, guys. I just want to make sure that a lot of us liberals don't take our eye off the real prizes, which are the House, our state House, our state Senate, all those. All those places that, especially where they hold the purse strings and that kind of a thing. That's because I really do believe they've been going through this cycle of a different leader running for president. I don't think they have any ideas about taking the White House at all. And I think they just want to retain power where they really have it right now.
Well, you know, interestingly, and Jeff, thank you for the call. Stephen, let me ask you just to respond to that under this context. Maybe the Republicans are happy to do what it is that they have been successful at, which is capturing the state seats and those federal seats and not worrying as much about the presidency.
Well, I mean, I think my opinion is that the Republicans don't have very much presidential chance this year. That's just, and again, that's my opinion based on reading the polls and reading sort of the electorate and the demographics of this election, which I think, again, are going to shock Republicans in ways that they're not really prepared for. And so, yeah, they're more focused on legislative races in states and on Congress, where we get to the point then where we're asking, I think, if there's a second term for Barack Obama, what does it look like, right? If the numbers get worse in the Senate for him, that's going to make things even harder than they have been. There's no talk of Democrats retaking, you know, the House, and maybe the margin there even gets tougher. At some point, we end up having a conversation about, okay, what are the next 4 years going to look like? Is it going to look like the last 2 years where we really have not been able to make progress on some very important issues? Or are we going to set some of this stuff aside and try to get something done? So, I mean, I think in some ways it could end up being sort of a hollow victory for Democrats because a president without legislative backing is pretty impotent.
And that's which is the world we're living in, unfortunately, right now. Stephen, we're just out of time. Again, it goes by quickly, so we'll just reconvene next Wednesday and do it all over again. Stephen, thank you so much. Appreciate your time as always. Happy New Year to you.
Yes, Happy New Year to you too.
Absolutely. Stephen Henderson again, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press and host of American Black Journal, seen on PBS. All right, a quick break here. We are open lines for the balance of the show, so whatever is on your mind works for me. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and you are listening.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our total traffic update includes delays on the Southfield Freeway northbound from that earlier accident north of 8 Mile, trying to clear from the left side. A number of vehicles were involved in that. 75 northbound at 12 Mile. Looks like that accident not causing any delays. Should be cleared shortly. A little busy. 96 East as you're coming in toward 275 Ruther M5 interchange.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Our forecast from the National Weather Service does include some sun today. Our high near 34. Tonight, though, we'll see the clouds and a low near 26. tomorrow, partly sunny skies and our high near 38. Metro Airport, we have overcast skies and 24 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
The powers that be constantly try to pull the wool over people's eyes. But sometimes the wool blinders are so itchy that people rip them off and clearly see the scam. One of the itchiest ever is the Kafkaesque fiction put forth by America's right-wing power establishment that corporations are persons with the constitutional right to control our elections with their bottomless troves of corporate cash. This is an absurd perversion of nature itself. A person, after all, has a navel. Where's the corporate navel? Or its heart, brain, or soul? Also, if a corporation is a person, shouldn't it be subject to frontline military duty? To jail for its criminal violations and even to the death penalty? As a listener pointed out to me in a recent email, many states do not allow persons under 18 years of age to marry, or in corporate terminology, to merge. Plus, such young persons are subject to curfews and cannot legally be served alcohol. If you see a young corporation violating any of these teen laws, call the cops on them. When a corporate and governmental cabal makes such a power play that the very idea of it becomes a national joke, both the idea and the cabal are in trouble. That's the case with a comical claim of personhood for corporations. All across the country, beneath the radar of America's clueless elites, a savvy and scrappy grassroots coalition is mobilizing to overturn the anti-democratic effort by the Supreme Court, corporate front groups, and political sellouts to enthrone corporate money over the people. On January 20th and 21st, there will be two national days of action to rally public support for a constitutional amendment to reject the farce of corporate personhood. This is Jim Hightower saying, to join the rebellion, connect with www.movetoamend.org and www.democracyisforpeople.org.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Virge Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Wednesday morning program. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. We are going to go to the phones. Again, feel free to join us if you have something on your mind. 888-552-3595 is our toll-free number. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We welcome Joe and Livonia to First Shift. Joe, happy New Year to you. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what's up, Tony? It's me from Livonia Democratic Club.
Oh,
what's up, man?
Hey, Joe, nice to hear from you.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, it's New Year, and I'm kind of all pumped up for the election, and, I've been thinking on my mind. Barack Obama has to come up with a new strategy, and I'm thinking, who knows, he might choose Hillary as his new VP instead of Biden. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know that Joe Biden's done anything to want us to distance ourselves from him. I mean, Joe, when we look at the vice president, has he really done anything that is offensive? I think sometimes when you shake up things like that, you can create more problems than you can solve. Why do you think that we need to do that, Joe?
I don't know. It's just whenever you hear Remember, I think there was a poll out that they were saying that Hillary was, like, the most favorable woman in America, and they're thinking, you know, that might actually help Barack get a few votes from women, possibly, and who knows, you know?
I still think that when women look at the presidential candidates, whether it's Republicans or Barack Obama, they're still going to see Barack Obama has their back, if you will. He certainly is going to vote and is going to represent their issues far more than any Republican will, Joe. Does he need to shake things up? Well, you know what? Now we're in campaign mode. Now we're going to see, you know, what he is going to do because he needs to do something. There's no question that's true. He needs to start responding to the attacks that are being made against him. And it's only going to get worse, Joe. It's not going to get better for the president. But I think getting rid of the vice president at this point probably does him more harm than good, to be honest with you.
You may got a point there.
No, just my thought. But Joe, appreciate the call and thanks for touching base with us. And again, Happy New Year to you. 888-552-3595. Again, 888-552-3595. If you'd like to join us this morning, it's an interesting idea. But to me, it's all it is an interesting idea. I'd be real concerned about replacing Vice President Biden at this point. There's no compelling reason to. He hasn't made some kind of monumental gaffe. I mean, he's the king of gaffes at some point, but he hasn't done anything that has really shocked us into submission. There's nothing that says replacing him, and there's been, I don't think, any polling that's done that says replacing him would be a benefit to the Obama ticket. And so I would be very cautious as to moving in that direction. Although I certainly understand at some level where Joe's coming from, because it would definitely shake things up. That's for sure. It would definitely shake things up. I don't lean in favor of doing that. Just very quickly before we get to our next call, and we were talking about some of the new features that we're doing, and we've got a couple. We started one yesterday, Tales of Interest, a little clunky, but we're working through that. I want to say that I'm getting good good response from you folks, and I appreciate that. Those of you that are listening, notice the production stuff we're doing. That's most of it is of Jeff's doing. Anthony certainly has been helpful in that. Not so much. 888-552-3595. Tom in Detroit's on the other end of my line. Happy New Year to you, Tom. What's on your mind this morning?
And Happy New Year to you, Tony.
Thank you.
You know what? I'm a firm believer in if it ain't broke, don't fix it. As you mentioned to your caller, Biden hasn't committed any gaffe to make it, him to be replaced. And, I understand this whole thing about the women vote and what have you, but when people go to the poll and vote, they look at the person who's going to be in that top position. Not necessarily second hand, so to speak. Because, ultimately, it all comes down to the person who's in the top position. And I don't have any problem with Biden. And, what is... Secretary Clinton going to bring to the office of vice president that's not already there, other than the fact that, the sex gender changes?
Right, and then that would be the only thing. And that is actually a compliment, Tom. That's a compliment to the two of them, to both Vice President Biden and to the Secretary Clinton. That's, we're not saying one is lesser than the other, because that would not be an accurate statement. It's my understanding that Secretary Clinton does not want to continue into politics, and I would suggest that I'm sure that if the president's reelected, she's probably going to be resigning as Secretary of State. This is not a job you do for 8 years, Tom.
Yeah, and the bottom line is, if your heart's not in it, go ahead and, quit and, shift another gear and get on another track and do something else.
And Vice President Biden has made it clear that he will run for the presidency after, whether the president's reelected or not.
Right.
He will run for the presidency. So we know that that's something the vice president wants to do. If the president were to replace him, he's basically sending the message he doesn't think he's presidential material. I happen to think Joe Biden is presidential material. You know, he certainly has foreign policy experience from his work in the Senate and now his work as vice president. And no, he's treated us as a country. He's served us well as a vice president. I think we have every reason to keep him on. Although, I appreciate the discussion. To shake things up, sure. Absolutely. That would shake things up if we were to get rid of him. I just think it would be a flawed decision. I don't see that it would there any positive outcome from that.
Oh, yeah, I'm in agreement with you right there. Like I said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Sounds like you got a cold, Tom. I hope you feel better.
Oh, I'm feeling great. I mean, I'm getting over it. It's all one of those 3-4 day things.
Gotcha.
I mean, you know, I'm like a Timex watcher. Take a licking and keep on.
Now, I know you enough to know that's true. Thank you so much, as always, Tom, and Happy New Year. Appreciate the call. 888-552-3595. Again, 888-552-3595. Let's go to Mark in Birmingham and welcome him to First Shift. Happy New Year to you, Mark. Thanks for punching in with us this morning.
Yeah, same to you. You know, I think, you know, Biden's sort of an embarrassment. I think every time he opens his mouth, if you'll notice, they don't let him speak much. And I predict if, and it's a big if, Obama gets reelected, you won't hear much from him. They won't let him loose, just like Obama's wife. They're scared what she'll say. She doesn't. You don't hear much from either of them.
Well, that's just not true. But tell me, what was the last thing that the vice president said that was an embarrassment?
He went on some rant about how the Republicans were preventing police, were encouraging increasing rapes and armed robberies. I mean,
absolutely.
He's an embarrassment.
No, he was actually right on that one, Mark. Because when thanks for the call. No, I appreciate it, Mark. But he was actually right on that when they turned down the funding to return more police and firefighters to the street. That does encourage rape, and that does encourage crime, and it does encourage murder, and I don't understand why that you would be in. If you're going to be embarrassed the Republican Party didn't have the stones to fund that program. I mean, that's what you need to, Mark, be embarrassed by. You need to be embarrassed by the Republicans. But I as always, appreciate the phone call. Just, as always, rarely or if ever agree with you. Let's go to Dan in Milford now. Dan, welcome to First Shift. Happy New Year to you, brother.
Morning, Tony.
Morning.
Hey, you know what I think an embarrassment is? Is guys like Mark in Birmingham that sit in their ivory tower who have enjoyed the lowest tax rates in 30, 40 years and call into a show like yours and make a comment like that. It's the most ridiculous thing I've heard, you know, and I think Mark has called in before, but...
Yes, Mark has called in many times before, Dan.
Right. He's probably a paid listener, right, for the right or whatever it is, but I think you're right on. I think Joe Biden is presidential material. I think that if the Obama campaign thinks that they need Hillary on the campaign trail, guess what? She's in the cabinet, man. She's on our team, and she can come out there and campaign for the president, and we'll receive benefits that way. So I think they're in the best possible position they could be, having her on the team, and I think they'll use that to their advantage.
No, you said that perfectly. I wouldn't change a thing you said, Dan. It's really about perspective, and I understand that Mark's perspective is more conservative, and so he's going to look at things in a more conservative way. But, you know, when the vice president just speaks truth to power, that, of course, being that, you know, when we don't have enough police on the streets, there's going to be more crime, there's going to be more rapes, there's going to be more murders. There happens to be some truth to that, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's the hard part, you know, and I spoke to you before the end of the year, and, you know, being a Democrat is hard because, you know, you speak truth and you have empathy and you see things the right way. And I admire Joe Biden for doing that.
Absolutely. Well, Dan, thanks so much for the call. We got to get to the break. Steve in Monroe, you will be up next, Steve, and it'll be interesting to hear what Steve has to say. And again, if you'd like to join us, folks, feel free to do it. 888-552-3595. We get ready to wrap things up on the other side of this break. So if you want to join us, now's the time. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano. A pleasure to be with you this morning and every morning. Solidarity, folks. Solidarity. We'll take the break and be back right here on 1310 WDTW. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
We're going to focus on the number one priority on Americans' minds right now, and that is creating jobs. If we have to drag the Republicans with us, then we'll do that.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
I believe, knowing what I know in a year as a state representative, that the answers were there for a whole long time. The problem is that people chose to ignore them. And the warning signs were there. I mean, they were there in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and 2000. And here we are today paying the price for the fact that we were living under an economy that was not an economy that is. And this is a messy divorce from the way we used to do things to the way we need to start living.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310.
WDTW.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. We get ready to wrap things up today, but we've got more callers and more stuff to talk about. No question, that's true. Again, feel free to join us at 888-552-3595. Again, the email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Stephen Monroe joins us now. Steve, happy New Year to you. Hope you had a nice holiday season.
Happy New Year to you, Tony. Hey, I just wanted to respond to Dan from Milford, who kind of responds to Mark. Mark's a conservative, I guess. Sounds like it. He makes a phone call and gives his opinion, and Dan immediately jumps to an ivory tower because the guy's in Birmingham. Dan knows nothing about Mark. He doesn't know where he works, what he's done for a living, just like I don't know anything about Dan. I think it's ridiculously stupid to make a comment like that when you know nothing about the guy. If you want to comment on his opinion, that's fine, but if you want to try to cut the guy down saying he lives in an ivory tower, like uninformed or out of touch, it's just a stupid comment by Dan.
Well, in all fairness, Dan hasn't a right to his opinion, of course. And Dan has heard Dan has heard Mark on the program before, as he said, and so he knows that Mark has he has made comments that are not that are very, I'm sorry, Steve, that are very much in line with what Dan was saying. So, I mean, I'll defend Dan a little bit there. But anyway, I appreciate you sticking up for Mark. You certainly have every right to do that as well, Steve.
Anyway,
are you there? I think we lost you. All right, cell phone technology. It is what it is. All right, Mr. Radford, you shared with me a little story that I think you want to share with the audience.
I don't have the. I gave you the story. I don't.
Oh, you don't have it?
I just printed it out for you.
I get all the power. Get a load of that. All right, this is actually kind of funny. Ron Paul, the Ron Paul campaign. I'll assume it wasn't Ron Paul himself. It could be, but I doubt it. In a close three-way contest, from CBS. In a close three-way contest with Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum for lead in Tuesday's Iowa caucus, Ron Paul taunted the one candidate who is not even competing in the Hawkeye state. The Texas lawmaker took on John Huntsman, who is betting his candidacy on next week's New Hampshire primary, tweeting, "At John Huntsman, we found your one Iowa voter. He's in Lynn Precinct 5. You might want to call him and say thanks." Initially thought by the campaign to be the result of an unauthorized hack, staffers deleted the tweet before putting it back online. Paul's spokesman Gary Howard told CBS News National Journal Huntsman is yet to reply on Twitter. No word on whether or not Paul tweets for himself on the account, which is verified by Twitter. I doubt that it was Ron Paul himself. If you watched, as I did, Ron Paul's speech yesterday after the caucuses closed, it was clear to me that maybe he's not completely home all the way and might have been up past his bedtime. I'll just leave it at that.
This is going to be great, though. Talk about a side conversation or, you know, something that doesn't matter but will be fun to watch. Is, you know, the Huntsman daughters are going to come back now, right? They gotta say something, do something for Ron Paul. And neither one of them have a shot at winning the nominee, but it'll be fun just to watch this battle ensue, at least for me.
If there is a battle that ensues, I don't know that there will be. I don't know that there won't be, because I just don't know enough about either campaign. I don't know that the Huntsman, John Huntsman, will let his daughters respond to it. Of course, it would be fun to let them do that. But here's the problem, and maybe I'm taking this way too seriously. If John Huntsman is literally throwing all of his eggs in the New Hampshire basket, which it looks like he's doing, and it's clear that he's not going to win there. I mean, let's just be honest about it. I mean, that may be a strategy. Doesn't mean it's going to work. I don't think it really matters what his daughters say, to be honest with you, Jeff. So they might as well let him go have a little fun.
Well, right, and I don't know that. Have you heard any bad blood between Ron Paul and John Huntsman?
No.
I almost think maybe that they're friendly, and this is like, you know, because if the staffers took it off, like, oh no, what about the backlash? And say someone close to Ron Paul, you know, because we don't think he actually tweets, but say someone close to him was like, no, look, it's all in fun, just put it out there and let the media have fun with it. And then, of course, you know, if that's the case, I don't know either. But then John Huntsman could be like, oh, all right, you know, to his daughters who make songs and videos and have a lot of fun, you know, with the social media. All right, go at it. I think it'd be fun.
Again, for you, I don't think that they're going to necessarily follow your advice on this one. And chances are, you know, here's the deal. What I found interesting about that is they thought it was a hack, and then when they realized it wasn't, they put it back on. So that means somebody in the hierarchy, in the communications hierarchy of the Ron Paul campaign did that. That's exactly what that means. The reason for it is we don't have the reason for it. Why did they do that? And you're right, we don't know if they were poking fun at him. We don't know if they were pissed off at the Huntsman campaign. Why would it matter? I mean, that's the other point is, why would you even comment on it when he didn't even have his name in the hat? You know, he wasn't even on the ballot. John Huntsman's name wasn't even on the ballot in Iowa. So, you know, it's, why would you go ahead and pick on him? I don't understand why they decided to do that, but they did, and it is what it is.
And think about kicking a dog while he's down. You well, know, you came in third place, and you're looking around, and you're like, let's see, I could take out Rick Perry, or I could make fun of Michelle Bachmann.
Which would have made more sense.
Right. Instead, I'll go for the guy who got 700 votes in a write-in effort, John Huntsman.
Who could have cared less about those votes.
Right.
You know, that's it, is that he didn't care about Iowa.
still pretty funny, though, that that's what the tweet was.
Well, you know, Sarah Palin, I mentioned earlier, Sarah Palin said that Michelle Bachmann and John Huntsman should step away from the campaign because they are not going to be and won't and can't be elected. And for her, John Huntsman pulling out of Iowa was the reason she was offended by that to the nth degree because he didn't respect democracy enough. Get a load of that. A Republican saying that a Republican didn't respect democracy. Didn't respect democracy enough to try to compete in Iowa when it was, you know, it was just a campaign strategy. It's not the first time, by the way, a presidential candidate didn't compete in Iowa, and it won't be the last. Iowa just doesn't matter, Jeff, at the end of the day. It just doesn't matter to the bigger picture. Even though we did that little bit of sound earlier in the show that said that, you know, as you break down the Electoral College, it could matter. Again, he kept on saying probable, probable, probable. And it's way too early for probables. Iowa doesn't matter. Michigan, on the other hand, of course, matters dearly. Yowza. All right, again, just want to remind you, those of you that are just joining us, tomorrow I'm actually going to be off, so we're going to do a best-of show. I just have some personal stuff that I need to take care of that takes me away from the show. But we will be back live on Friday, so you'll look forward to that. Joe DeSano will be with us. Buddy Romer, who is also a Republican running for the presidency, ignored by everybody except for the alternative media. I guess I'm considered alternative media because we're not ignoring him. He'll be on with us on Friday as well, so we've got a lot to get to. And, of course, today I take my youngest son to Michigan State and let them educate his bright young liberal mind. Yeah, that's right, liberal mind. I said it. All right, that'll do it for us for today. Anthony and Jeff, thank you for everything. Of course, as an audience, you folks are amazing. Appreciate all the calls today. Happy New Year to each and every one of you. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our last look at the traffic includes some delays still on the Southfield Freeway from that earlier accident northbound north of 8 Mile. We've got some heavy traffic in the slow spot, 75 south in towards 696. Also those coming in 96 towards 696, 275. And remember the power outage that's going on because of repairs by DTE Energy, Woodward between roughly the Davison and State Fair, DeQuinder, Livernois, that whole area between McNichols and 7 Mile. Just want to avoid it if at all possible because the power is out.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Our forecast from the National Weather Service does include some sun today. Our high near 34. Tonight, though, we'll see the clouds and a low near 26. Tomorrow, partly sunny skies and our high near 38. Metro Airport, we have overcast skies and 24 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW.